You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
This is James Avera from Hellstar and Sabbath Judas Sabbath! Rock out with your geek out!
Hey guys, it's Bill, a.k.a. Pop Mojo, congratulating you on 8 years. Keep on keeping it geeky.
Hey everybody, this is Brian with Metal Geeks and MSR Cast. Just wanted to give a big thank you to all of our listeners who have been supporting Metal Geeks over the last 8 years. Happy anniversary to our team here for all of the hard work and effort that they have been putting in. I know for a fact all of you that I've worked with have been great, and you have introduced me to so many games and movies and comic books that literally I am broke, but I still appreciate all of the effort you guys have put into sharing it with all of the listeners. Happy 8th anniversary. Keep it metal. Keep it geeky. Many years to come.
Welcome, my friends. Oh, God damn it. Already. Balls already. You
balls
can't
at the forefront, sir.
I'm sorry.
Balls first.
Justin, you can't take over George. Okay, George, I need you to give me a balls on three. One, two.
Testicles.
All right. The clinical term will work. It's fine. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 183 of the Metal Geeks podcast. This is a very special episode. This is our eight-year anniversary.
A tribute to gonads.
Yes. everybody go yay real quick, please. Come on. We need
yay. Yay.
All right. Thank you for everybody doing the Kermit. We have with us tonight, we have Mr. George Tripsis.
As always.
We have Brutal Dave.
Hi.
Hi. What's up?
Hi. I'm still here being brutal. You know?
Being brutal.
So brutal.
I'm brooding in my cave as usual.
That high was the most brutal of highs.
We have Justin back with us again.
What's going on?
And we have a very special guest this evening. We have my original co-host when this podcast started, Metal Geeks. We have John Michael. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Well, hello. It's good to be back.
It's been a while, man. 8 years.
It has been.
8 years. It's crazy. And it all started with us going, we were recording MSR Cast, and we started talking about Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And it just bloomed from there.
It was funny, because when we were preparing for the actual show, it was very much so like tonight, about before we started this.
Be woefully unprepared?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's my style.
Yeah. So we would sit there for like an hour or 2 hours just talking about comic books and things like that.
Yep.
And it just kind of spawned onto it. It's pretty cool. Organic. It was awesome.
That's right. There's the short history of the Metal Geeks podcast.
Yeah.
It's so organic. It's
and
awesome.
Then when John Michael, how long were you
vegan?
Do you remember your last episode, JM?
I jumped in on another anniversary edition.
Right, like our five-year anniversary, I believe.
Yeah, so it's been some years.
What was your last episode you did as a full-time member? Do you remember what episode that was?
It was in 2014, so I don't remember exactly the number. But
and yeah. So once you left, we decided, okay, so what are we going to do? I invited Dave on as a guest, and somehow I was working with George at this company, and he's like, I'm going to come over and podcast with you guys. And I was like, all right. And he never left.
Actually, it was like months and months of me berating Kerry. I was like, can I come do the show? Hey, can I come to your show? Hey, when are you going to be on your show?
I was actually there for that episode. I guested on George's first episode.
And then George never left. He just stuck around. He's like, what time are we doing it next week?
Yeah,
and I was like, okay.
It's on giving is basically what it was.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Justin's been around for a long time. He's been a good friend of the show, so we're happy to have you here with us tonight. And I wanted to give
happy
a
to be here.
And I wanted to give a quick thanks to everybody that's I'm trying not to get mushy or any of that kind of crap, but everybody that's helped out the show over the years, we wouldn't be here without you guys. Of course, I want to thank my co-host over at MSRcast, Sean the Metal Pigeon, and Kryptos, who helped start that show. He helped me get into podcasting 15 years ago. Our anniversary on that show is coming up. Can't believe it's been that long. I want to thank the voice from the other room, my wife, who's in there playing Borderlands right now and probably ignoring me. I want to thank Brian Hogan for all the hard work that he does. I want to thank Bill Longa for all the work that he did to help us over the years. Who am I missing? I want to thank George and who?
Tweaked Audio.
Okay. we're gonna thank all of our past supporters and sponsors.
I actually vaguely remember us doing those ads.
Yeah. But speaking of, we can thank Alpha for being a sponsor for so long. What's the name of his company, George? Always forget.
Right now.
That's why they're not a sponsor. No, I'm joking.
Something Collectibles.
Tantrum Collectibles. There you go.
Tantrum Collectibles. Yeah, I knew it. I was testing you.
Right. Well, thanks to all you guys, and thanks to everybody that's been involved and made this show what it is. I wouldn't be here without any of you guys. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Balls.
Aww. Yeah,
bottom of your testicles.
From the bottom of my testicles.
Just a little further, you get to the gooch.
The gooch?
Come on, man! Everyone's heard of the gooch before.
No,
tell me you know what the gooch is.
I do not know what the gooch is.
I thought the gooch was the
it's also known as the taint.
Okay, I know what the taint is.
I was going to say the taint is definitely very distinguishable. From the gooch.
I remember the gooch being the bully from Different Strokes.
Yeah, you're right, dude. And in a very special episode of Different Strokes, the gooch. Wow. So what's everybody been up to? Let's go around the virtual round table here. George, what have you been doing the past couple weeks?
Past couple weeks, I've been spending money that I shouldn't be spending. And,
if you're about to talk about the Comic-Con stuff, we'll definitely get into that. Because I think we've all spent a little bit of money, maybe except Dave.
I have not, no.
I spent more than a little bit of money, Carrie. It's shameful how much money I spent. That's what it is.
We're going to break it down penny by penny. So
It's like I went to a strip club and walked out with no money, but except this was no strippers. It was all movie posters and Comic-Con related bullshit.
All right. Have you been playing or watching anything?
I have been playing stuff. I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima. That also came out.
Yes, it did.
And I've been playing it as well.
Free time I have been playing it too. I've been playing it.
So. What do you think of that? Okay, what do you? I'll ask George and John Michael. I'm maybe like two or three hours into the game. What do you guys think of the game?
Best game of the year.
You know, I'm not the biggest gamer. I've never have been from the beginning of the podcast. I mentioned that.
But, yep.
I don't typically jump on the consoles and play for hours at end, but this game definitely has me playing hours at end. It's stunning. It's absolutely beautiful.
If you have the opportunity to play it in full HD, like I have a PS4 Pro, this game is stunningly beautiful and so amazing.
Yeah, I did end up getting a PS4 Pro.
There you go.
And I've got the 4K TV, so I'm definitely playing it top notch. The just everything about it, the story, I literally feel like I was put in a time machine back into 1242 Japan. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. The gameplay. It's weird. It's sort of a cross between like Assassin's Creed and like the Batman Rocksteady games in a way. You know what I mean?
I do.
It reminds me more of Spider-Man in a way, how open the world is. Yep.
Well, that's every game is open now.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't
feel as repetitive as Assassin's Creed.
That's true. Yeah, Assassin's Creed can get very repetitive.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me a little bit of like God of War and Breath of the Wild.
I can see that.
You know.
Yeah.
But I love the whole concept of the samurai, and it was just it was a as soon as I saw the graphics and the storyline on social media, I was like, fuck, I got to go get this.
I love how the character, you can there's a way to play the game. Like, you can go in there and be balls out and just start attacking everybody, or you can be sneaky.
Yeah.
And I love the character feels bad when you sneak around and kill people because it's not the samurai way.
Yeah. And ironically, I am literally reading the Book of Five Rings,
nice,
which is the way of the samurai. So, like, this book came out, or I bought this book when the game came out. So it was, like, perfectly aligned. So anyways, yeah, it was awesome, man.
It's a beautiful game. It's probably maybe one of the best games of the PS4 generation, definitely this year. And it's a good send-off for the system, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How far are you guys into it, George?
I'm still on Act 1.
I think so, me too.
Three acts altogether. But the thing is, I keep doing the side quest. Every time I'm near a mm-hmm. side quest, I do that.
Yeah, so. Same here, man. I'm collecting linens, irons, and all that kind of cool stuff. So I could go get some awesome swag. And
it sounds boring, yeah, go running around and collect linen, but
I made sure my character looks like the dude from Samurai Champloo, so I'm very much doing that right now.
It's awesome.
Cool. I'm glad you guys are liking it.
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting for this game ever since it got teased, what was it, a year or 2 years mm-hmm. ago?
Yeah.
And now that it's out, that's all I want to do with my free time.
What about you, Justin?
But I don't have much of that time, so
no.
There's that.
What have you been up to, Justin?
I've been up to a lot. I watched like 680 episodes of One Piece,
and then
I watched. Do you ever sleep?
No, I don't. I've been sleeping like 3 hours a night at best. I watched the entire series of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm on season 5 of Seinfeld.
Oh, my God, dude.
So I've just been grinding TV.
I've never watched Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It's hilarious.
But I like the people in it.
Larry David is like a more angry version of you. So, like, every time I watch it, I keep seeing you, and it just makes it so much more enjoyable for me.
That's going to be me in 20 years, is what you're saying.
It might be. It very well might be. I also have been playing a lot of Pod Racer. It got released on the Switch not that long ago, yes. So
is it worth it? I've been debating about buying it.
You know, it was one of my most favorite games on the N64 way back when,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't have as many options as like games today do, but it's still incredibly fun. And you forget how detailed the levels really were for the time it came out.
So is this like a direct port? Because that was a cool game on the N64.
Yeah, it's a direct port. They haven't changed anything as far as I can tell.
Even remaster it or anything.
It doesn't even look remastered. It looks exactly how I remember it. It's really fun.
Nice.
It's gonna be all potato quality and shit.
I might pick that up when it goes on sale. How much was it?
You played it. It's $15.
$15.
You know, if you play it on your handheld Switch, I mean, it doesn't really matter what the graphics look like. It looks great.
I pretty much only play my Switch in handheld. I've been playing.
Yeah.
I started Paper Mario: The Origami King, and there's such a.
Oh, that came out.
Yes, it did. There's such a. These first-party Nintendo games, especially like the Paper Mario games, there's such a wall to get through before the game starts to become fun and open. There's so much talking, and the worst part about it, it's all on screen. There's like no voice acting or anything, which Nintendo has never done. So
there's none of that with Pod Racer. You can just get right into it and start racing from the get-go. I mean, it's fun.
There's not a four-hour backstory about Pod Racer?
No. You can even skip the cinematic cutscenes.
There's not even a story. Is there even? Yeah. I don't even remember the cinematic cutscenes. They're just scenes from the movie, aren't they?
Well, they showed like different planets, and the announcers would come on and talk about the race and who was the favorite, and you know, talk about the planet a little bit, what obstacles you were going to see, and stuff like that. But you can skip all that if you want to.
You know what I did pick up on the Switch though is the Duke Nukem collection.
Oh, cool!
That is so much fun.
I used to play that as a kid. I was so obsessed. I thought it was so awesome that you can go to the toilet and use the restroom. I was just so amazed by that in a game back in 1995.
Yep. And speaking of Duke Nukem,
do you remember the one other technological development that happened in that game? They had mirrors that you could actually see yourself.
Yes. Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. When you could see yourself, that blew my mind.
But the way that they did that is because they couldn't actually render that in real time.
Mm-hmm.
there was another character model of Duke Nukem that matched your movements, and you're actually seeing through a transparent wall. That's actually sense. How they did
it. Oh,
that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
but that was, yeah, that was mind-blowing at that time.
I've also just been listening to tons and tons of music.
Yeah, I've been jamming a lot of new stuff recently. We'll get to that. Speaking of Duke Nukem, there's another game on the Switch called Iron Fury, which is made by the same development team, actually, that worked on the original Duke Nukem. And it's sort of like a steampunk futuristic version of Duke Nukem, but you're a female. And originally the game was called Iron Maiden, but they had to change that name, if you can understand why. So now it's Iron Fury, and it's such a fun game, too. It's really good. Duke Nukem.
Iron Maiden feel like they were tugging on their copyright too much or something?
It sounds very close.
Steve Harris and company came after him.
Yep.
I mean, they're Iron Maiden versus the other guys.
That's right. What about you, Dave? What have you been into?
Well, I mean, you know, I had kind of like not been playing video games at all for some time, so I got back into it. I finally buckled down and finished Doom Eternal, I played through on Ultraviolence, which is the highest they'll let you play through on your first playthrough. And so before I do my Nightmare playthrough, I'm going back and I'm playing Doom 2016 over again. I'm going
to make a harder version on the Ghost of Tsushima too. They had a new update about a harder level on that.
That game's pretty difficult already.
Yeah, there's no way I could do that.
I'm having a hard time on the regular
version. I know. Dave was like, "Yeah, I don't play video games much, but you know, Nightmare level on Doom, that's my shit."
Yeah, let me unbrush everyone in my path.
On Doom specifically, like Doom since the beginning, that's like my jam. And so I don't do that with everything. I'm not like a hardcore. I have to do it, but for Doom.
What did you think of some of the platforming elements in the new Doom game?
They were mostly pretty smooth. There were a lot of them that, like, the game kind of helps you out a little bit, which is nice, because I remember, like, coming up on some of the big platforming jumps, because there are some pretty huge leaps that you have to make, multi-move leaps that you have to make. I remember walking up on some of them being like, bullshit. but they're actually pretty smooth. Only fell a handful of times, I think, in those. But
they're fun, though.
They are fun, and I feel like they feel a little bit odd in a Doom game. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, I have to remind myself the environmental hazards have always been a major part of Doom games as well. And it's just, how do you do that with modern game mechanics and things like that?
Right.
And it kind of makes sense. Because it used to be like you just had to like run across this very narrow platform, and if you fell off either side, you were going to fall into acid or lava or something. And so how do you recreate that now when otherwise this character is just jumping all over the place? All of the combat arenas are so frenetic, and there's so much running and flying through the air, and so it kind of makes sense that they might use that as a environmental hazard. So it feels a little odd, but I guess it kind of makes sense.
You know, so one of our friends of the show is the guys from I Am Geek, and one of the brothers on the show actually worked on that game.
Do you know what he did? Because I met him, and he said he was working on it, but he couldn't talk about it.
Talk about much about it, but I think he was an environmental artist.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
The if that's so, props to him and his team, because the environments in Doom Eternal are immaculate. They're beautiful in their, you know, gore and terror and all of that. Really well done environments.
What about you, John Michael? What have you been into?
Oh, man. Well, spending a lot of money on action figures. I read comics constantly. I've been reading like 5 to 10 comics a day since I started the show with you. Yeah. So I'm constantly reading.
What's your favorite series right now?
Oh, shit, man.
I'd never heard of that one.
Yeah.
I hear it has a poop monster in it.
The Slimer.
From Dogma. The poop monster from Dogma.
The greatest thing about what we're living in right now is the content is just absolutely incredible. We're just loaded full of incredible series, incredible arcs, and just in all aspects of geekery. But with comics, man, it's a weird realm. Like right now, I've been trying to read Empire.
Yeah.
That Marvel's doing. It's just utter garbage.
I've started the Fantastic Four issue of that, which I don't like about it, from what I know, is, you know, usually Marvel events, it's like, okay, there's issues 1 through 6, and that's the entirety of the event. For this one, you have to have Fantastic Four Empire, you have to have X-Men Empire, you have to have all this tertiary bullshit to even get the story.
They're pulling a DC Comics, Court of the Owls, you know, Death in the Family kind of crap, but it never works out.
Court of Owls.
I love that story as well, but you could have completely avoided the side stories and not even missed them, you know. But now,
but then you wouldn't have Talon. Talon's a great character.
Yeah, Talon's really awesome. He also makes Robin a larger character, even though Robin was a pretty large character to begin with.
But Empire, it's kind of trying to fall in that realm, but it's just not being written really well.
Who's writing it? The Dan Slott or?
Dan Slott and Al Ewing.
Okay. Al Ewing, I mean, that's an old school name.
Al Ewing has been writing one of the best comic book series, Immortal Hulk.
I haven't read that yet.
That's so fucking good, man. You have to read No Surrender to get into Immortal Hulk because it basically resurrects him. But everything that Al Ewing has done has been fantastic. My favorite series right now is, and it has been for years, has been the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It has been fantastic from the start.
The IDW series, right?
Yeah, man.
The main series or the offshoot series?
The main series. The offshoot stories are okay. They're not that bad, but they do tie in, which is really cool about what IDW does. They literally pull from all realms of, like, turtles. So, like, they'll bring in stuff from the animated series. They'll bring in things from the 2011 series.
Is Vanilla Ice in it?
No, not yet.
Then I'm out.
But they have actually made the Rat King a god, which is really incredible. He's not just like this creepy guy that hangs out in the sewer trying to talk to rats and manipulate things.
He's like the Pied Piper of rats.
Essentially, but like he can walk in and can be in completely invisible to everybody in the room and stop time, make adjustments, and then step off and then watch it play out. So it's pretty incredible.
Let me ask you a question. You're talking about Empire. I just read an article today that one of the issues came out, and it was $4.99, and they said it was a 40-page issue, but there was only really 20 pages of real content. The rest was like, you know, like sketch artists, sketch stuff, and like maybe like ads and stuff like that. What do you feel about this $4.99 for one issue of a comic book?
Well, working and managing a comic book shop for 2 years, I can tell you that that never works well for the consumer. I get why people, why they do it. They're doing it for the absolute collectors, but the reality is there's not that many people who actually read the books, and they're only picking up the books for monetary value or investing in the books.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So, yeah.
That's like what happened with the bust back in the 2000s. You know, everybody's like buying shit just because, hey, this Superman comic's going to be worth the money. No, it wasn't.
I mean, we never really had a bad day, honestly, at the shop as far as buyers. But talking to people about stories was something that was very few and far between. Mm. You know, there's not very many people who actually read the books. But
interesting.
Yeah, it's honestly kind of shitty, honestly. And then they also kind of strap retailers with variant comics in order to lure consumers into their shop by having to spend, you know, you buy 50 books in order to get this one cover and then two other variant covers.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's
the whole comics industry is a mess right now. Is really the truth.
Certainly is.
Like yeah, Marvel's always been trending towards more expensive prices on their books, and they just continue to push more and more. $5 comics is going to be the new norm. I mean, it's really not that surprising for them.
Yeah,
you know, and especially they got to pay the mouse back for all the debt.
With all the coronavirus stuff going on, I'm sure shops are really suffering because people aren't going in to pick up books. They have huge collections that are sitting there.
Yeah.
DC had a falling out with Diamond. They're distributing through new channels too. Like the whole comic industry is just a giant mess right now.
Yeah. You
know, I don't even want to get into the Comicsgate stuff and all the problems with Dynamite and other companies like that. But I mean, it's like the whole industry is extremely suffering, so the prices are just going to have to go up in order to even keep these companies afloat.
That's very true.
I buy very few issues. I keep up a lot on I have the Marvel Unlimited app, so I don't mind being months behind on stuff. You know what I mean?
I used to read every book that came out.
Yeah.
I pretty much only read independent books that are put out by Justin Jordan these days. Like I read three different series written by Justin Jordan, and that's it. Like I don't read anything else that comes out anymore.
What are those series?
Reaper and Dead Body Road. It's a mini series he's working on.
Okay.
Dead Body Road 2.
Yeah, the first one was great. Second one I haven't actually read yet, but they should all be in my box, hopefully. Hopefully.
Cool. Yeah.
Now, Dave, you had something you were going to say right before I cut you off on. Did you have something else you wanted to mention?
Oh, I was just still spitballing about shit, and I was going to say we.
Doom on, my friend. Doom on.
I'm done with that. I have other demon killing video games to talk about. I've gone back and started replaying Diablo 3.
Oh, as well. I saw your post that you were installing that.
Yeah, well, we had our internet at this house always kind of sucked, we got our internet upgraded last week, and so now we have really good connection speed and everything. And one of the things that bugged us when we moved here was that like we couldn't play Doom together. Me and my wife couldn't play Doom together because the connection was so bad.
Wow.
And so that was kind of like a, hey, fuck you. We can do this now. And so we reinstalled Diablo 3. We've been playing with our buddy Jeff. And so that one's just kind of fun. Other than that, as far as video games go, really the only other thing I've been playing, Carrie, I've been playing the shit out in my down moments. I've been playing the shit out of Emoji Blitz again.
Have you?
I noticed you haven't been logged in recently.
No, because I tried logging
him now. Is that what you're doing?
I tried logging in a few months ago, and my entire game was gone. I was like, "Fuck this game! I'm not starting over from scratch." I had so much shit open; it was all gone. And I reached out to him. I'm still playing that stupid Disney Kingdoms game every morning. not Disney Kingdom. Disney. What's it called?
Sorcerer.
Yeah. Arena, yeah, that's what it is.
I tried playing it. It's not bad. It kind of reminded me of the Galaxy's Star Wars game.
Yeah. I'm just like opening characters and stuff now. That's all I'm doing.
No judgment. I'm still playing South Park.
Yeah. So. I want to talk about a couple things. There's this game that I played last week. It came out on the Xbox Game Pass last week on Thursday. I beat it on Sunday. I played the shit out of this game. It's called Carrion. It's put out by Devolver Digital, and it's a 16-bit reverse horror game, because in the game you play as like this amorphous demon monster blob thing with like giant teeth. Think like the demon that can possess things in The Sing, like monster.
I was looking at it that way to begin with, but then I remembered Justin Jordan, as I mentioned before, his book Spread.
Mm.
It's actually it's actually way closer to the creatures from Spread.
Oh, really? That'd be interesting then. The game is so much fun. Think about it. Okay, it's a 16-bit Metroidvania game with a lot of puzzle elements, because there's your energy, your how much power you have is combined with how much life you have. So there's certain parts you can only get past if you're at level 4, and then you have to like deposit some of your biomass in like these weird like pools to make you get yourself smaller so you can do certain stuff, and then go back and get it, and then you can possess people. And the ending was a little lackluster for me. I'm like, oh shit, that was it, that was the ending. But I love this game so much. I'm like, I it was over, I'm like, I'm ready to play it again.
Looking at screen caps of it now. So you're like this wild like tentacle monster.
Yes.
Thing. Yeah.
It's so you're like in this underground facility and you escape out of a
I finally got my code. I bought it off Limited Run Games, which you can do, and then you'll get a physical copy. But you also get a download code. It took me 48 hours to get mine, honestly. But once you get your download code, you can download it and play it.
Yeah, I'm actually going to buy the Switch version just to have a physical version of this game. I'll probably, once I get that code, I probably will replay it on the Switch.
But what's the name of the game again?
Carrion. And it's, if you have Xbox Game Pass, it is free right now.
So, oh, it's on Xbox.
Yeah, well, it's on Xbox and Switch. And maybe, I don't know about PS4, maybe.
I do have a Switch, so
totally, on there. Totally worth buying. Trust me. It's not the longest game. It's maybe like 5 or 6 hours or 7 hours at the most. But I it's one of my favorite games this year so far.
Well, it'll probably take me like 10 months to complete it with an iGame.
And I did want to mention one TV series that I watched, and that was The Outsider. Now I'm a big fan of Jason Bateman recently. I love Ozark. And I saw that
series.
I know I saw that he was in it, and I saw that he directed the first couple episodes. So I started watching it, not knowing what the story really was. I got so invested in this show, I binged watched it in 2 days, and I never do that.
Wow,
you need to watch more horror stuff, Carrie.
I do.
I kind of bailed out after like the fourth episode. It kind of got a little slow. It's a little too slow for me, so I bailed out.
It's pretty good.
I plan on rewatching it. I don't know. There's better things for me to watch right now.
It's a pretty good series, but like, there's way better horror stuff out there.
Give me some recommendations. Let me know what I should be watching then.
I'll make a list of stuff for you, and I'll send it to you later. I mean, there's so much cool stuff that you're missing out on just because you don't watch a lot of horror.
I really don't. I just don't know where to start, really, sometimes. You know what I mean?
That J.J. Abrams show that he's going to be putting out with Jordan Peele on HBO looks
Lovecraft
incredible.
Country.
Oh, yeah. I saw the trailer for that.
Yeah,
but I really like
too close to my story, but yeah.
But if you're a fan of Jason Bateman, he just started a podcast. Have you heard about this? Called Senseless, it's him, Sean Hayes, and Will Arnett. So what they do? There's only been two episodes so far. What they do is one of the guys brings on a special guest every episode, and the other two guys don't know who it is. So the first episode was
Clever.
Yeah, so the first episode was Dax Shepard, and the second episode, which I just finished today, was Neil deGrasse Tyson.
What?
Yes.
That's awesome.
And it's really cool. It's a pretty cool podcast. And you know, I'm not mad that all these celebrities are getting into my world now. It's okay. I've been doing it for 15 years. They can catch up.
Honestly, dude, that's one of the reasons I stopped podcasting. I got to be honest. Once I started listening, I moved to Maryland. Once I stepped away from Metal Geeks, I stopped podcasting altogether. And you know, I've been doing it back when was it 2005? We started at Metal Injection.
Yes,
that's
right.
When I started, at least. And I kind of stepped away from it, and it just became like everybody and their grandmother, legitimately, their grandmothers are having podcasts. You know, but that's just it's pretty cool.
Jim just brought back the Entropy League on Spotify, actually.
No shit.
Yes. He's doing it weird. I was talking to him about it the other day. So he creates these playlists on Spotify, and then he records each segment of him talking is a different podcast that he uploads. So it's all in one playlist. So it's very interesting.
I remember him recording in his phone while he was doing his commutes. That's how he would record his podcast.
That's right.
I remember that.
I guess having a podcast anymore is like the modern day equivalent of being part of like a bowling league or like a poker like group. Like it's just the thing that you do.
Yeah, right. I remember when I met Kevin Smith, that was like 3 or 4 years ago, and I was like, I gave him one of my cards. I was like, hey, this is my podcast, and he's like, oh, tell me about it. He was actually sincerely interested. You remember this, Justin? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I was podcasting for, you know, blah, blah, blah. I started this year. He's like, you've been podcasting longer than me. I'm like, well, if I had one thousandth of your listeners, I'd be happy. And he sort of laughed.
Yeah, it's so funny when you listen to these people. Like, I don't know. I listen to Joe Rogan's podcast a lot. And, he's the number one podcast. Mm-hmm. And you know, listening to how he says it just organically happened, which is exactly how podcasts work. I remember when he was on Justin TV, that's when he was starting his podcast, and he never expected it to go as far as it went. So when you do have some sort of star power, it definitely helps you quite a bit.
It does. Which we don't have, for sure.
No.
But we have.
Not yet, at least.
Not yet. Well, we're waiting to ride on George's coattails. That's what we're waiting on.
Exactly. That's the only reason why they let me on the show.
But, yeah, that's right. We're waiting for your movie to come out, man. Come on. Let's do it.
I'm waiting for a pandemic to be over so I can make a movie.
That's true.
You're a brave man for making some creative content in this this world right now.
All right. So let's take a quick break. We're going to get into a couple of topics. I want to talk about some of the Emmy nominations. And I want to talk about Virtual Comic Con and what we thought about it and how much money we fucking spent. We'll be right back. And we're back, my friends. Let's talk about a couple things. Topics I want to talk about today are the Emmy nominations, which we're going to get to in a minute. And I want to talk about Virtual Comic Con. Now, there's two things that we can talk about. We can talk about the actual programming that they did, and we can talk about all the items and special edition crap that came out.
Well, the programming part will be really, really short because they didn't do any fucking programming.
No, they did a lot of programming.
they did a lot. This is the issue. They did a ton of programming, but unlike a traditional con where you're there with nothing else to do, so you maybe go see more like fringe type panels that you wouldn't normally see.
Yes.
You're at home, so you have access to all the streaming shows that are you ever want to watch.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to turn into the Buffy the Vampire Slayer panel if you're not a Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan.
Oh, was there one? Yeah, I don't know if Ken may know about that.
My biggest problem is that it was all pre-recorded. All the big panel stuff was all pre-recorded, so they left no room for what we like to say, organic interactions with fans.
Well,
really dropped the ball on that.
I don't know about that. I mean,
I don't really mind the pre-recording.
I'm not going to get into
so
that
because
yeah.
They did air them at certain times, which encouraged all the people that were trying to watch stuff at home mm-hmm. to go into the YouTube chat rooms and discuss what they were watching.
Closed all the chat rooms, so that was impossible. You couldn't chat via YouTube. All the chats were closed.
They weren't in the beginning because a couple of the panels I went to on day one, there was plenty of people talking.
The internet took care of that shit real fast.
That's right. Good job, internet. Way to keep it going. I only watched a few.
Differently when it comes to chat, they should have did like a poll everywhere where people could like submit a question and someone could screen the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I watched a few on YouTube.
It could have been done better. It could have been done better. But I mean, it was their first year doing it exclusively online, and it's during a pandemic, and it was free.
So you can't really complain. I mean, it is what it is. A lot of shows. Even ones that are close to me are having to pivot and do different things virtually. You know what I mean? It's just the world we're living in right now. I did watch a few of the panels. I watched the Bill and Ted panel, which was hosted by Kevin Smith. And then we watched the What We Do in the Shadows panel. I think maybe that's it. I glanced through some of the stuff. They did a lot of niche like programming, which was cool. Like a lot of comic book stuff and things like that. So there's a lot of cool stuff still on their website. But there's an article I read that their interactions were down like 95%, which makes sense. It's
way more than normal.
Because
they were basing that on tweets almost exclusively.
Right. It doesn't make sense.
You got to look at it. When you go to a con, there's a million things to take pictures of.
Yep.
There's cosplayers. There's all kinds of toys and statues and booths and whatever.
And Comic-Con is like
another thing.
Almost exclusively, like whenever a con is going on and tweets are happening, it's people taking pictures of stuff and then discussing what they're tweeting.
It's natural. Like, it's not
right.
Yeah.
People aren't going to like watch a panel and then go to Twitter to talk about mm-hmm. it. You know, too often. I mean, it happened, but it didn't happen at the same rate as it would have if it was a real con.
And it makes sense to me that their engagement was down 95% because we're living in a weird time right now, and some people don't care or don't have they don't really – if it's not happening physically, some people just don't have time to worry about it. You know what I mean? People are dying. People are out of jobs.
That's why I was saying they should have been scheduled live panels. And they actually, during those panels, should have had something to talk about.
I disagree with you on that one.
Man, I do live video for a living.
Yeah, I know you do.
At work. And all that stuff, The only reason why anything is any engagement is because they can talk to the person on TV at that moment. That's why those things are engaging.
But it's really hard to get that many celebrities to set aside whatever they're doing to sit down and do live panels. I mean,
you were there to get them pre-recorded. Why not just do when they were recording?
Because they could have been like, they could have been working on it for months and months.
3 months to get together to pre-record it. You know, they had plenty of time to prep. And I mean, honestly, San Diego as a as a con didn't have that long to prepare this whole thing and to organize it. And for the limited amount of time they had to put together the schedule the way they did to be able to get everything up there, I think they did okay. I think it was a pretty solid attempt at a con, at the first online huge con like that.
And a lot of other shows have done it too.
They didn't show any footage, or they didn't have any like anything like exclusive to show.
Of course, you can want more.
During the panels, they showed it the day before, so it basically undercut the pre-recorded panels that they had.
But it was all still going on during the con. I mean, everybody wanted more. Of course, you wanted more, but like, considering the world and everything else, like, they did a pretty solid job. Yes. I can't say anything bad about it at all.
All right, so
I mean, it was free too. You're complaining about something that was free.
Let's stop arguing. Let's all get along. We all love each other.
I'm not trying to argue. I'm stating my point from my point of view, what I experienced.
I'm not trying to argue.
I wanted it to be more.
That's the definition of somebody trying to argue, dude.
I wish that they would have had the live feed only so they could pop up another person, like say like we're talking here and then they pop up a guest,
a surprise guest, Q&A, yeah,
and they whip their dick out. That'd been amazing.
Also, like with the Kevin Smith hosting the Bill and Ted,
that would have been Kevin Smith doing that.
They had to censor a lot of his curse words.
They did,
because they can't control who's watching this stuff live from home. So they don't know if little kids are watching it or whatever.
That's YouTube is very different now. Somebody that has to deal with YouTube now, if you say that your content is kid friendly, it has to be, or you're in a lot of trouble. So I understand why they did do a lot of this stuff pre-recorded, so they could do some of that stuff.
So next year, when they inevitably have to do Comic-Con online again.
Don't say that. Be optimistic.
Hey, I'm all for it. Otherwise, we wouldn't get to attend. So
that's exactly right.
We'd have to deal with the crowds, that's for sure.
I wouldn't be able to own if I wasn't online. I think what they need to do is cut out YouTube entirely and host everything through a website of their own choosing.
Maybe.
Or their own website.
That's a possibility.
And that way they can control what they show. And if you're on the website,
but
hey, if someone curses,
the technical background and that has to be really strong to make that happen. It's easier just to throw shit on YouTube. You know what I mean?
Or they can go to Twitch. They can go to Twitch or some other platform that isn't as...
Yeah, Twitch would be awesome. Need to find somebody to partner with.
I did.
Basically...
Speaking of that, on Twitch, I did watch some of the Nuclear Blast stuff they were doing, their Comic-Con at home. So I watched the Andres Kisser Twitch, which was awesome. He actually was they were doing everything live on theirs. So, like, you would ask a question to Andres Kisser in the chat room, and he would answer right away, you know, which was pretty cool.
I think
I asked him two questions. Like, one of them was about his time in an Anthrax. I don't remember the other one, but he tried to say MSR cast, but he didn't know how to say it. So he tried. He said the cast part correctly, but I was like, all right, that's cool.
Close enough.
At least he knows who.
Monsieur Cast.
That was sort of what it was.
Monsieur Cast, I would like to answer your question.
That's pretty close to what he did say. He did talk about he got to really get geeky about like Star Wars and stuff, and how his favorite character was Darth Maul, and he's about to get a Darth Maul tattoo. And it's pretty cool because like these people that you grow up listening to, and these, you know, they're geeks just like us, you know, hence this show.
Well, that was a part of the whole thing with Metal Geeks. Yep. When we first started it, we discovered how many people in metal are 100% geeks.
Anytime I do an interview with anybody, it's always start talking about geeky stuff. And they're like, do we have to go back to talking about the music now? Cause they do that with everybody, and it is fun for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, the singer or the vocalist from The Absence, thrash band, he works at a comic book shop here in Tampa.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's like, yeah, So it's funny, man.
I remember when I interviewed Worrell Dane, we started talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I was like, you know, because there was an MSR cast episode, and I was like, you know, I have a show called Metal Geeks, and you should come on, and we can just spend hours talking about these. He's like, sign me up. But later.
Yeah. Fuck.
I just recently talked to Matt Harvey online. I'm like, you know what? Open invitation. Anytime you want to come back on the show and talk about geeky stuff, he's like, all right, I'm there. So
we still kind of interact every once in a while on Instagram.
Yeah. He's a cool guy.
He is.
All right, let's go back to Comic Con. Let's talk about all the exclusive that usually at the show you have to be there for most of it. Let's start with John Michael. What did you purchase this year? Did you get anything?
I did. I got, I am 100% addicted to Mezco toys.
Are you?
The
re-releases,
yes,
right? They're sort of new, but the.
They are, sometimes they'll do like a. It has a really old school vibe to their figures, that's for sure.
I saw them in Target, last year? They did, Married with Children and all these weird.
No. That's Mezco doesn't have a retailer. They're exclusive to their own site.
What am I thinking about? I'm thinking about something different then.
Might be Mako.
Yeah.
They do a lot. That's right. They do a lot of throwbacks. Mego does, but Mezco does use a lot of the old school, like Alex Ross art for the Shazam. They have a figure that looks just like it. But what I ended up getting this year was what's called a Gomez. Gomez is their mascot. And he's a cockroach, and
gross.
It's super gross, and I love it. he's a ninja. And he's got this golden cloak that he wears. And I don't know. I got him for about $85.
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah, that's.
I'm looking at their website now.
Yep, that's him. So they have different variations of him and different costumes. I have one that's an Agent Gomez, but the one that I just purchased for San Diego Comic-Con was the golden Dragon Clan Gomez.
Yeah, I've never seen these toys before, and there's a lot of great, IP on here.
Yeah, they do some really good stuff, and to pair with my Gomez, I got I pre-ordered the Golden Skull Clan, which is basically people that are being contracted to go and kill him. So I don't know, it's a big story that goes along the back. There's backstories to the Gomez character and anybody in the universe.
You say Gomez,
cool.
And I'm thinking of the Addams Family for some reason.
Yeah. And what's cool is that Gomez actually wears Chucks too. So they have Chuck Taylor shoes on him, and he's an agent running around with assassin gear with Chuck Taylor's on.
Very cool.
But, yeah.
This character design is actually a lot cooler than what I was imagining when you were describing it.
Right?
It's like a giant cockroach. I'm like, oh, from the Doom Patrol series? Have y'all seen that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, my God. The giant cockroach in that series, and they get inside of it. Oh, not going there. One of my favorite series right now is Doom Patrol. I love Doom Patrol. It's one of the best superhero series ever. And I'm not really that big of a DC guy, but it's just so quirky and fun.
Yeah. The Gomez guy, he reminds me of the Ninja Turtles. So it's kind of he would fit perfectly well with my NECA Ninja Turtles, which is something I probably won't end up getting this year.
Have hope. We should stop being we should all be optimistic.
Yeah. I'm in Florida, for fuck's sake. It's really hard.
We're in Texas, so we know.
We're in Texas. It's not much better here.
That's right.
It's only getting worse by the day.
I got apparently there's a hurricane barreling down on us right now. And you guys had one last week.
Yeah.
But the NECA actually is changing their entire platform for pre-ordering for exclusives now because of this bullshit. They released a bunch of exclusives to Target and really a small group of action figures to Target and Walmart, the two largest retail chains in America. And the NECA discovered that there were people using bots to get a reservation for the for the figures and kind of hijack the whole sale.
That's like, it's like the Funko website. There's bots is buying people buying shit with bots all the time.
It's exactly the same thing. The difference between Funko and NECA is NECA realized it. Well, I'm sure Funko does too, but
Funko did not care.
Yeah. NECA is basically like, all right, well, fuck you guys. We're not going to reward scalpers and flippers for this. So what we're going to do now is we're going to intercept the next group of exclusives, the Tokar and Rezar and the Super Shredder. They're going to put them on their website for pre-order for a couple of months, and then they're going to ship them to people directly. And if you use a bot, they're going to actually use technology to identify whether or not it's going to be going to a legitimate place or if it's a bot. Nice.
So, man, if they could only give that technology to Mondo.
Bottleneck has it, man. If Mondo would just do what Bottleneck does, we'd be great.
Yeah, I know, right?
What about you, George? So, what have you picked up? How many how many posters?
Posters?
15? 20?
No. I
bought two for him.
Yeah, I got two Star Wars posters, a Spider-Man poster.
All Mondo?
And,
or?
No. A couple of them are Bottleneck. And what else did I get? Oh, and then I bought the Hero Complex Gallery stuff.
I picked up the Spider-Man poster for you, and the, what was the other one?
That Star Wars one from Afra.
Yeah.
And then Catherine surprised me with the other Star Wars that got dropped, but not the foil one, which is okay. I didn't expect to be surprised by it, which is just
it's
a great all in
it's
general.
It's a gorgeous poster.
I saw that. I was actually interested in that.
Edition. 100 for a timed edition is a lot, but it's a beautiful poster.
It really is a beautiful poster, so that's why I wasn't like super upset about it.
What about you, Justin? What did you pick up?
I picked up way too much stuff. I got almost everything I wanted from Mondo. I was there at the drop every single day.
Yeah,
I got my Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure from Matt Tobin. I wanted.
I saw that. I actually was interested in that. It's beautiful.
I got the Palm Springs poster. I got the foil version of the Isa and Fernanda.
Okay, let's take a quick little break here. You bought the Palm Springs poster, the Andy Samberg movie that's on Hulu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask why?
Because it's a badass fantastic movie.
Okay. All right. I really enjoyed the movie. I saw it. Both of you guys would not. Especially George. I saw George would just hate that movie.
I love Groundhog Day.
I normally don't like Andy Samberg because he's not really funny. And what was great is that he wasn't doing his normal stupid shtick in this movie. He was actually being a relatable and decent actor.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
See, thumbs up for this movie.
Okay.
I generally like Andy Samberg. I mean, I think he's pretty good in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Love
I like
Brooklyn
some Lonely Island stuff. Like, I don't mind Andy Samberg. And Palm Springs, I mean, it's basically Groundhog Day with a twist.
It was really good.
I really enjoyed it. And then
it was
Mondo
better than it should have been.
Mondo dropped a surprise poster, which, you know, sold out instantly. And it's going for...
I thought the poster was okay. Like, it's cool.
You know, it's going for $300. I spent $50 on it, so I'm not complaining.
Wow. Yeah.
Jesus.
You know? I picked up an X-Men poster.
I saw
the show
that
one.
That's cool.
Did you get that bit with the one with all the characters on it?
I got the
Children of the Atom?
I got the Children of the Atom, the original X-Men. Angel cool. and Beast and Marvel Girl group.
That's Marvel Girl to you.
Yeah, I picked up the Dolly Jaws poster.
Yeah, yeah.
I got those two Terminator posters from Bottleneck. I got the foil variant and the regular. I really didn't have much trouble with Mondo. Like, I got pretty lucky. I was in there and bought everything I wanted. Erica got everything she wanted. I got all the stuff George asked me to get. Like, the only thing I missed out on was the variant foil version of the Star Wars poster that came out.
Mm. I mean, they only made 245 of those?
I would have gotten it if I had been logged in ahead of time. It was my own fault for not being logged in prior to the drop because the robot verification cost me too many seconds, and then I got screwed over by that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, poster-wise, everything went great. Toy-wise, it was a fucking nightmare.
What did you wind up getting?
I collect all kinds of Masters of the Universe stuff, and I collect all the Masters of the Universe Funko Pops.
Yeah.
So Funko was releasing them on their site. I was there the minute they went on sale, added them to my cart, went to checkout, got to where the shipping was trying to calculate, and then it was not calculating. It just kept spinning and spinning and spinning. Funko was tweeting and saying, Don't do anything. If you leave the page, you'll lose your spot in line. Just sit on the page until it goes through. So I sat there and I waited for about 53 minutes. And Whoa. Then by the time it finally went through, all of them were sold out.
That's fucked.
And it was not everybody had that problem. Almost every single person that tried to get it had that problem. Only a few people actually got what they wanted. The bots just hammered the site instantly. The shipping could not process for anybody. It was a total clusterfuck.
That sucks.
They're shared exclusives, though. They're coming out on Toy Tokyo. So I waited until 11 p.m. when everything was supposed to drop on all the other sites.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Entertainment Earth put theirs out at 11. Walmart put theirs out at 11. Hot Topic put theirs out at 10:50. Everybody was around the right time, except for Toy Tokyo, who was like, we're going to do this at a random time. But they didn't tell anybody when. And they went on sale at like 11:23 in the morning the next day. So I missed them because I was working and doing other stuff, and I didn't see the tweet fast enough. I did find a British website that was willing to sell them and ship to America, and I bought them on there. But then my order got canceled because they told me they wouldn't ship to me. Then I got lucky because I found them on eBay from an Australian website that had bought a bunch from Pop Culture, and the U.S. dollar is pretty solid against the Australian one, so I basically paid double what their original cost was, which is fine. I don't mind paying double. I just don't want to pay, you know, $70 each on eBay. So I did get them. It was just a giant hassle.
Which two were they?
The Clawful and the Blast Attack Master of the Universe ones. I also got the Iron Bob FYE exclusive.
I got the Iron Bob, too.
You got your copy too.
Yeah, I used the Honey Code, so I got it for like $13. Like it was like $17 shipped.
That's nice.
The Iron Bob
from James Bond Bob reboot.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, wow! So is he in the Iron Man costume?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
The only other thing that I bought was something that you. Well, two things that I bought. I bought the Alex Ross Monkeys print from this year, and I wasn't going to do it until I read that, okay, this is the second one of the series, and there's two in the series. I'm like, okay. I was like, if they start doing it every year, that's too much money. I couldn't do it. So I wound up getting it. And there was 195 made in that series, which, unfortunately, that's how much it cost. It was $1 per, you know, expensive, but.
It's Alex Ross art.
Exactly.
You can't go wrong, and it's a high quality print.
And it's a normal size, too. The one that I got last year, I had to get a custom frame for it, but this one is 18 by 24, so I can actually get a decent quality frame that you don't have to get custom. That was another thing that sold me on it. And then you sent me the message about the Super 7 Haunted Mansion set.
Yeah.
Bought it right away, but of course they had it for days after that. I'm like, you fuckers.
Well, you didn't buy it right away because I was talking to you the whole time. You went and looked at it, and then you started sending me links to all these other heavy metal action figures on their site.
That's true.
And I was like, Carrie, what are you doing? This is an exclusive. Do you not understand how this shit sells out instantly?
I was panicking for you. I had to get permission.
Did you get the King Diamond?
Not yet. The Halloween one?
Yeah.
No. I want to get the Anthrax.
Speaking of Haunted Mansion,
Among the Living,
Carrie, Disney just unleashed a whole bunch of new Haunted Mansion stuff on their website for their Halloween stuff.
To purchase or?
Yeah, to purchase.
Don't tell me that.
All right, sorry.
No, I'll take a look.
So as you were talking about these Mondo posters, so I've only known Mondo through their action figures. I never have gone to their website until today. And
don't do it,
I'm
dude.
Looking,
don't do it.
You guys just you fucked me up now because I did not so Francisco Francavilla is one of my favorite artists and
oh yeah, he does a lot of work for them.
Yeah. He did this Toy Story poster that I think I could convince my wife to get. And then there's the Ed Fisker or Fiskor, however you say it, a Fantastic Four Grand Design screen printed poster. This is incredible.
No, really?
Oh, wow. We converted another one.
Everything Mondo puts out is awesome, but a lot of the stuff you see on the site is stuff that didn't sell out instantly.
Yeah.
Most of their releases, they drop at 11 a.m. They're sold out by 11:01.
Really?
Yeah.
It just depends
on the print. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a gallery here in Texas too, don't they? In Austin.
In Austin.
That's their headquarters here.
Yeah.
We had posters and prints and stuff from artists that we would have visit the shop, and we'd have special exclusive Prince's stuff come to us. We had Neil Adams at the shop, and he did it into the Spider-Verse poster. and I never was really into posters. Yeah, I'll have to show it to you guys. But the I was never really into posters, but seeing the Disney mashups with some of my favorite artists, I was not expecting to see this.
Mm-hmm.
Mondo had a Disney show, a Pixar show, was it about a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I can't remember, but anyway, I bought a. They have this amazing Wall-E print, and
yeah, the Wall-E print is beautiful. The Rory Kurtz one,
yeah, that one. And I have the Incredibles, and I was gonna buy the Coco, but I didn't love the movie Coco, so I decided not to buy it. But the print for that movie is phenomenal. I
haven't seen
Erica
that.
Oh wow,
Erica wants that Wall-E print.
Very cool.
That's incredible.
And yeah. Dave, you didn't buy anything?
No.
No,
I didn't even look.
If,
so.
Going back to the Super 7 thing, if the figures were cheaper, I would probably bought more. They're $18 each, which is pretty high. Like I want like the Anthrax Among the Living with, you know, I want they had a Ghost one that was pretty cool for this year. Like the King Diamond ones are awesome. I have one.
All right, so those are reactions. You have to check out this Entertainment Earth Super 7 King Diamond action figure. He's $45.
No, I haven't seen that. I know NECA just they put out a Sergeant D from SOD, and I want that one.
Yeah, dude, he's got a goat head, he's got swappable heads, and he's got a skull.
Okay, you got to send me a link to that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And his packaging is incredible.
We should get one for George, because George loved King Diamond.
I can see the poster as well.
So much.
Check out HolyMountainPrinting.com, Carrie. They've got some of the metal reaction figures for a little bit cheaper.
Oh, really?
They got a ton of cool shirts and shit, too. I was looking at their website last night.
I'm making note of this.
They actually just put out a new magazine as well. I'm going to give my friend Alexis a cheap plug here. He did the cover for the Holy Mountain magazine that just came out.
Oh, cool.
He also did Space Riders, if you ever read that, from Black Mask Studios.
Very cool.
Holy Mountain is badass.
I have never been there. I want to check it out. I'm not going to be sorry. Am I, Justin?
I mean, you might spend some money, yeah.
I'll see.
They got some
sorry.
Bullshit on the site.
All right, let's talk about Emmys. I know, George, you said you didn't know any of the nominations, right? You haven't looked anything?
No, I don't know any of them.
Okay,
I'm with you, dude. I don't know anything about it.
We don't have to spend a lot of time talking about this, but there's some interesting things on here. So, you know,
Emmys, sure, it's all terrible.
It might be, but you think everything's terrible. So, everything but Palm Springs, apparently.
Everything in 2020 is kind of terrible. So. Yeah.
So, under Best Comedy nominations, we have What We Do in the Shadows, Schitt's Creek, The Marvelous Mrs. Right. Maisel, The Kominsky Method, Insecure, which I've never even heard of that.
Insecure is great.
The Good Place, Dead to Me, and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Good Place should win just because it's their final season.
I agree.
I mean, my vote goes to Curb Your Enthusiasm. I don't think I've watched it.
Have you seen The Good Place yet?
Yeah, Erica likes it, so I've watched it. It's not for me.
Dude, I love that
it's
show.
It's so forking awesome.
It is so fucking good.
I don't like What We Do in the Shadows either, though. So,
what? Yeah, you're weird on that one, dude. I'm sorry.
I never watched the show. I only saw the movie.
You got to watch the show, dude. It's so.
If you enjoyed the movie, the show's
way better.
Really good.
Yes.
Really.
I haven't watched the show fully yet either. I'm only three episodes in.
We love it. The Vampire Council episode is worth the whole ride itself. Yes. All right. I would say Good Place for me are, we really enjoyed the watching Schitt's Creek. Me and my wife like binged that.
Same here.
That show's over too, right?
It's over now too. Yeah. And I have a feeling.
I think they got one more season coming out.
No, Schitt's Creek is over. It's just not
for real?
It's just not the Netflix yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So season 6, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
6, I believe. Yeah, you're right. And which is weird because we lost the channel. We like, we had, it's on Pop.
It's on Netflix now, right?
Well, it's, they brought the season over after they're done, but it's on Pop. And when we, our bill
was exclusive Netflix.
No, it's not. Our bill was too much. So we were like, hey, you know, we need to cancel some, go to a lower tier. And that was one of the channels that went bye-bye. We didn't realize it.
Yeah.
So we had to like find other methods to watch it. All right. Best drama. Succession. I've been, people have been recommending that to me this past week.
It's an amazing show. Yeah. So good.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that show.
Stranger Things. I don't know if that's best drama, but
this last season wasn't all that good.
No.
Ozark, which I fucking love Ozark. I think Ozark is a great show.
It is, but I feel like this season was a little bit weaker than the previous two.
Man, I don't know what y'all like about that show. I can't get into it at all. I can't get past the second episode of that damn show.
You're just weird.
I'm not weird.
It's a slow burn.
So boring.
It takes a while to get going. He's right about that.
But Jason Bateman is so good in that show.
He is. And so is what's her name too? The girl,
Laura Linney.
The girl.
Oh yeah. Can't think of her name now too.
Yeah, she's excellent.
Moving on. The Mandalorian is nominated as best drama. Which is weird. I think they were nominated for like 30 Emmys.
It's 50% a great show and 50% filler episodes. So I don't really see how it can be the best drama.
Exactly. It doesn't belong in the best drama. It doesn't even belong in the Emmys, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it shouldn't have any nominations except for maybe effects.
Killing Eve, The Handmaid.
That's a great show.
That is a great show.
Killing Eve, really?
Yes.
Yeah, it's really funny and it's just whip smart, man. It's such a fun show.
Okay.
The I can't remember her name, the blonde Russian, I can't remember her name, but she's funny as hell, and it has the lady from Grey's Anatomy in it.
That doesn't help
me. I can't remember the names, man.
But, I've never seen Grey's Anatomy.
There's like this weird sexual tension between the two of them, but
you're talking about Margaret Cho.
Yeah, well,
I know
you're
talking about
Sandra Oh.
Sandra Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Sandra Oh, and then the other character who is basically an assassin. She is hilarious. Carrie, you would like her humor quite a bit.
All right. Maybe that's something we were looking for a new show to watch together, me and my wife. We started The Alienist, the first season of The Alienist on HBO Max. A buddy of mine was like, you have to watch it.
So we're really Carrie, the TNT show.
Carrie, you really need to watch Curb Your Enthusiasm if you haven't.
All right, I will. I actually just started on HBO Max Vice Principals the other day. I'd never seen that.
Oh, that's a great show.
Yeah. I'm like episode 4 or 5. There's only 2 seasons. I'm like, okay. Maybe I'll start Curb after that.
Yeah, you should.
Don't get your hopes up, dude. If I don't really like it, just curb your enthusiasm.
I had so many like riotous laughing out loud moments from watching that show. I don't think any show I've watched in years has made me laugh as much as Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, I do think Larry David is funny. I like the guy that's on the Goldbergs too.
Yeah.
Did you ever like Seinfeld?
Yeah, I watched Seinfeld. I didn't think it was
So imagine that, but raunchy and a lot more outrageous.
I didn't think Seinfeld was like the best thing ever, or like a lot of people did, but you know. It was fun. It was okay.
Larry's just, he goes through life doing what he wants to do, saying what he wants to say, and like he's always the epicenter of all these disasters that just happen, and it's just hilarious.
You know, that kind of stuff makes...
He's normally the cause of all those disasters, too.
Go ahead, Dave.
But completely unintentionally.
Yeah.
I was going to make a joke, but the moment has passed.
No. We'll break for your joke. Come on, let's hear it.
Well, Justin earlier said that the character in Curb Your Enthusiasm reminds him a great deal of you. And I was wondering, with that character description we've just got, I don't see it, Justin. What are you...
I meant more in the mannerisms and like how he asks friends and stuff. So like there's definitely like 50% Carrie and 50% somebody that's completely different from Carrie. But
okay.
I do see like aspects of Carrie in the character.
Are you saying I'm an old Henri Jew? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that.
Your words.
Okay. God damn it. Get off my lawn. All right. I do say that. Moving on real quick. The Handmaid's Tale, which we've never watched. The Crown and Better Call Saul.
Well, Better Call Saul is a great show.
I never finished Breaking Bad, but I do like
Odenkirk. You don't have to like Better Call Saul. It's
Bob Odenkirk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've only seen like the first episode and a half of that show, so.
They lost me on that episode in Breaking Bad where he was chasing a fly around his laboratory.
Oh, that's a great episode.
Dude, for like a fucking hour, he's chasing this fly, and I was like,
"Yeah,
I'm
but
out.
It's the show. His like his the like
was it like
his,
a bottle like,
descent into madness?
Was it like a bottle episode or something?"
Yeah, so that was directed by Ryan Johnson, but yeah,
oh,
it's
really?
A bottle
well,
episode. Yeah,
here we go. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's he's a hit or a miss, man. He like a lot of people didn't like his. Was it Bright that yeah. he did? I love Bright.
I liked Bright too.
Yeah, but,
Bright.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Netflix show with Will Smith, the movie.
The movie.
Yeah,
it could have been better, but it was good.
That wasn't a Ryan Johnson movie.
Are you thinking of,
it wasn't?
No.
Are you thinking of Bright?
Ryan Johnson would never make that.
Maybe. Oh,
everyone's fact checking. Consult yeah. the internet, everyone.
Yeah, I gotta see.
Dave has another joke.
Ryan Johnson on. Made Brick and Knives Out and
Knives Out. Yeah.
Oh, I love Last Knives
Jedi.
Out.
And what was it? Last Jedi and Brothers Bloom.
So, oh yeah, so Brothers Bloom.
Nothing but good movies coming from Ryan Johnson in my opinion.
So I was wrong.
Ayer
I was wrong.
Did.
David Ayer. Goes right. It was terrible.
All right. Moving on. Best limited series, Little Fires Everywhere, Mrs. America, Unbelievable, Unorthodox, and Watchmen. The only one I've
Watchmen's
seen.
Fantastic.
I would give it to Watchmen hands down.
My
yeah,
wife
Watchmen
watched.
Watchmen is the best thing out of last year.
I yeah. loved Watchmen. My wife watched Unorthodox, and she really liked that.
Watchmen was
you,
brilliant.
Watchmen's better.
Yeah.
So, best actress in a comedy: Christina Applegate in Dead to Me, Rachel Brosnahan, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I think she's won like 2 years in a row. Linda Cardellini, Dead to Me, Tracy Ellis Ross, Blackish, Catherine O'Hara, Schitt's Creek, and Issa Rae, Insecure. What do you guys have a pick?
Know. I love Linda Cardellini, so I'd pick her for sure.
The
only that one out of that I've watched is Schitt's Creek.
Catherine O'Hara did such a great job.
Yeah, it's the only one I watched.
Nice moment, keyboard. So
yeah.
Thanks. Best actor in a comedy: Anthony Anderson, Blackish; Don Cheadle, Black Monday; Ted Danson, The Good Place; Michael Douglas, The Commission.
Ted Danson,
The Good Place.
Yeah, I do. I agree with that.
I don't know, did you guys watch Black Monday?
No, not yet. I've been looking at it.
It's awesome. Like, I actually think Don Cheadle could win that. Like, he was so good in that role.
Okay. That's we have Showtime free for a little bit, so I've been watching Kidding, which got canceled.
What's the show called?
Black Monday.
Okay,
it's on Showtime. I binged it all in like an afternoon. It was so good.
All right, moving on real quick. Michael Douglas, The Kominsky Method, Eugene Levy, Schitt's Creek, and Rami Malek.
It's the Hulu show Rami. Yeah. I watched season one. It was okay. I haven't watched season two yet.
All right. I think we can all agree Ted Danson, right?
Yeah.
Word.
I'd say Don Cheadle.
All right. I'll watch that show and I'll let you know.
Always the outlier.
Best actress in a drama: Jennifer Aniston, The Morning Show. Nope. Olivia Colman from The Crown. Jodie Comer from Killing Eve. Laura Linney, Ozark.
Oh, that's the blonde lady.
That is the blonde, yeah.
Yep. Sandra Oh, Killing Eve, and Zendaya from Euphoria.
She was really good in that.
In what?
Euphoria is a fantastic show.
Euphoria is
well.
Really
I never
good.
Saw
She's
that either.
Really check that out, Gary.
I mean,
yeah. And Netflix, I mean, right?
The only thing that I didn't like about
HBO.
That show is like HBO. The last 5-10 minutes.
There's like a random weird musical number at the end of the season, which is really odd. But the show itself is such a great arc for all the characters.
Yeah, it's a really great show.
All right, moving on. I'll put that on my list for sure. Best actor in a drama: Jason Bateman, Ozark; Sterling K. Brown, This Is Us; Steve Carell, The Morning Show; Brian Cox, Succession; Billy Porter in Pose; and Jeremy Strong in Succession.
Bill Cox in Succession.
Brian Cox?
Brian Cox, sorry.
I'm going to go with Cox Jason guy. Bateman, but...
I don't know, like, he was...
He just plays himself in every
he does play himself. Like, I haven't seen the other shows, so I can't really compare it to anything, but, like, he's the... This last season, he was the weakest actor in Ozark.
Was he was the weakest link?
Yeah.
All right. Best actress in limited series or TV movie: Kate Blanchett in Mrs. America, Shira Hawes, Unorthodox, Regina King, Watchmen, Octavia Spencer in Self-Made, and Kerry Washington in Little Fires Everywhere. Only seen Watchmen. And some of Unorthodox.
Yeah, I can't really speak on that one.
Yeah, Watchmen's for me.
Best actor, limited series or TV movie, Jeremy Irons, Watchmen. Yes, Hugh Jackman, Bad Education, Paul Mescal, Normal People, Jeremy Pope, Hollywood, and Mark Ruffalo. I know this much is true. We did watch Hollywood. That was fun. I don't remember who that guy was, though.
Jeremy Irons was so fun to watch as Ozymandias. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he probably deserves it. Like, yeah, I couldn't say in the previous category.
Such a fun...
I haven't seen everything else, but Regina King was fine in the role that she played, but it was like...
Yeah. She was great in that role.
But, like, almost anybody could have done that role. Like, I feel like that role wasn't unique to her. But, like, Jeremy Irons owned Ozymandias and made it his own.
Yeah, especially when he put on that SpongeBob outfit at the end.
Yeah.
moving on. Supporting actress in a comedy. Alex Borstein, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Betty Gilpin, Glow, Darcy Carden, The Good Place, Maren Hinkle, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Damn, there's a lot of people here. Kate McKinnon, SNL, Annie Murphy, Schitt's Creek, Yvonne Orji, Insecure, and Cicely Strong, SNL.
I mean, Glow is the only thing I've watched. I haven't even been watching SNL, so.
We've watched some of SNL. I don't know if Darcy Carden's the best supporting actress, and Betty Gilpin on Glow, she overacted a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with her, but she did overact.
Darcy Carden is AI, right?
Yes. Glow after season one. I really like season one of Glow. But
Dave, was she good enough to win an Emmy for it? Maybe? I don't know.
I haven't seen any of this other stuff. So yeah. I also don't give a shit about the Emmys, so
okay.
Yeah.
Like these award shows mean zero to me. I don't give a shit about them. Like, I don't need to watch Hollywood sit in a circle and masturbate each other. I don't care. Sorry.
But it's so much fun.
That would make for a better show, though. all right, so supporting actor comedy, Mahershala Ali, Rami, Alan Arkin. I'm gonna skip some of the names now. Andre Brower from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Sterling K. Brown, William Jackson Harper, The Good Place, Dan Levy, Schitt's Creek, Tony Shalhoub, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and Kenan Thompson, SNL.
I mean, Mahershala Ali is the best actor in that group, so he's probably gonna win.
I haven't seen that show, but yeah, you're right, he's a great actor.
Kenan Thompson, y'all, come on now.
He's great.
Kenan Thompson. He's been good at Good Burger for his whole.
he's been.
Hey, you know what? That guy knows where his bread is buttered, and he is sitting tight. I have no problem.
supporting actress Helena Bonham Carter in The Crown, Laura Dern, Big Little Lies, Julia Garner, Ozark. That's the young girl.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She's phenomenal. Yeah. Tandy Newton.
Did you watch The Assistant? She's in that. She's
no,
really good.
I've heard about it though.
Yeah.
Is that streaming anywhere?
Hulu. They just added it to Hulu last week or something.
Sandy Newton, Westworld, Sarah Snook, Succession, Fiona Shaw, Killing Eve, and Meryl Streep, Big Little Lies.
I didn't even finish Westworld season 3.
I haven't finished season 1. I've tried.
I couldn't get into season 2, so I kind of stopped on season 2.
Season 1's great. Season 2 gets better at the end, but season 3 is rough.
So, supporting actor drama, Nicholas Braun, Succession, Kieran Culkin, Succession. Wasn't he the one in the metal movie?
Yeah, Lord of Chaos.
That was Kieran, right?
Yes, that was him, yeah.
Okay. Billy Crudup, The Morning Show, Mark Duplass, The Morning Show, Giancarlo Esposito, Better Call Saul, Matthew McFadden, Succession, Bradley Whitford, The Handmaid's Tale, and Jeffrey Wright, Westworld. Okay. I'm not doing some limited series or movie.
But that's where all the good stuff is.
Is it? Supporting?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Margo Martindale. My favorite role of Margo Martindale is on BoJack Horseman. I'm sorry. That's it.
Yeah, she's good in that.
Yeah.
She's good in... what's the one with Paul, Giovanni Ribisi, too? What's that show called?
I don't know.
Brain Fart.
That's the name of the show, Brain Fart?
Yeah.
I'd want to watch that.
Me too.
The best thing ever. Where you fart in people's faces.
Sneaky Pete.
Oh, okay.
Pretty good show.
That could be a character in Brain Fart.
That's right.
Could be.
Supporting actor in limited series, the guy from Watchmen, I can't pronounce his name, Yahya Abdul something. No.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Well, he plays, spoiler alert, he plays, whatchamacallit.
Yes, spoiler alert. That's right. Louis Gossett Jr., Watchmen, Dylan McDermott, Hollywood, Titus Burgess, Unbreakable, Kimmy Schmidt, Kimmy versus the Reverend. Did y'all watch that?
Yeah.
It's like an interactive story. Choose your own adventure.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it once.
Choose your own adventure of what?
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt movie.
Oh, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. I didn't go back and try to find all the endings like I did in Black Mirror.
And Black Mirror was terrible as it was.
It was.
All right, so television movie.
People try to portray that such a great show. I couldn't.
Oh, no. Black Mirror is fantastic, and there's amazing episodes of Black Mirror. We're talking about Bear Smash specifically.
It's fucking great. When it's bad, it's really bad.
Oh, no. The best episodes of Black Mirror are, like, some of the best shit you'll ever watch in your entire life. Like, the bad ones are just okay, whatever, but, like, Bandersnatch particularly, the Choose Your Own Adventure movie, it sucks. It's terrible.
Okay.
So, television movie, you might know, you've probably seen all these, Justin. American Son on Netflix, Bad Education, HBO, Dolly Parton's Heartstrings, I know you've watched that one. El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie, and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Kimmy versus the Reverend.
Did anyone else watch that El Camino movie?
No.
Yeah, I did.
It was just okay, right? Who thinks it was just okay.
I was hoping for so much more.
Yeah.
Like, the nostalgia of it was fun, but I mean, it didn't live up to my expectations at all.
I just didn't feel like we got enough of Jesse's conclusion.
Yeah, I agree.
Although the gunfight at the end was pretty awesome.
I agree.
All right. There's a lot of other bullshit. I guess I'm done. Are we done? I can't do anymore.
Dave, are we done?
We're fucking done, you guys.
But wait a minute. Jason Bateman is nominated for guest actor in drama for The Outsider.
That's cool. He was pretty good in that.
For his short amount of time in the movie, in the show, not to spoil anything. Oh, best documentary. I have my pick right here. Beastie Boys Story.
What are the other options?
What else is in there?
The Apollo, Becoming, The Great Hack, or Laurel Canyon?
I haven't seen any of those.
All right, here we go.
I haven't seen any of those.
Let's do animated program. Big Mouse, Bob's Burgers, BoJack Horseman, Rick and Morty, or The Simpsons?
The Simpsons.
Really? After 28 years? 29 years? Whatever they get?
Yeah, that Thanksgiving episode they did was hilarious.
I don't know.
No South Park?
They're not on there.
Yeah, they weren't. The last season of South Park was just, like, the half of it was great. The other half was kind of meh. I don't know, man. BoJack probably should win, but it was just so depressing.
That's what I love about it.
Yeah.
I try to watch BoJack. Something must be wrong with me because everyone else loves it and I can't get into it.
There's something wrong with
you. George, I started. How much have you seen, George?
Almost all of season one, but every time I watch it, I get farther into it than I did.
Did you give up too, Dave?
Into it, and I did. I haven't watched anymore since I started it, but I started trying to watch it a few weeks ago, and I like checked in with Justin and Carrie, and I was like, "Does this show like get funny or good?"
It does. The exact same way. It never really got there for me.
It's not a funny show. It's just
it's certainly
it's a character study.
Yeah, there's funny elements in it.
There's funny elements, and there's funny side characters.
Yeah.
It's not a funny show in the same way that some of the others are.
Yeah.
I'm willing to give it another shot, but it was, I could kind of get that that's where they were going, but like, it's like they kept trying to do funny things that weren't funny.
That's just season one. They weren't sure what kind of show it was going to be. And okay. I think that's probably what you're experiencing. Like, season one, they kind of leaned into, like, let's be a funny animated series.
It was all these, like, non-sequiturs and, like, one-liners, and none of them landed for
me. That all goes away by season two. Like, season two, it becomes the character study that talks about addiction and depression and anxiety and, like, you know, all the crap he has to go through in life and, you know, loss.
It's a great life story, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a
good
really,
time show.
It's a really
feel good show. If you have it's the most
it does though in a way because it does. You're like at least I'm not making the decisions this guy's making.
Well, yeah, it's some of the
like
most truest
the Hollywood H sign.
It's some of the truest representation I think of depression.
Yeah, it's a really good.
It really is.
It was actually y'all talking about that made me interested in checking it out in the first place because I was curious to see that.
If you can force your way through season one, I think you'll find that it really picks up in season two.
Or just skip it. Go straight to season two or three. Or just skip the whole show in general.
No, don't do that.
That's my feeling.
Just
watch
the season one recap on YouTube somewhere.
Yeah, that could work too. You just need to be familiar with the characters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you guys ready to move on? We have to get to our segment of George hating metal, which our guest host picked the song, and I don't think I've ever heard this either, so... We're about to find out.
How does everyone know what song it is?
Because some people are in the know.
Oh.
You're about to find out.
I don't know.
All right, guys. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to be right back. All right, George hates metal. That was.
Do I though? Do I?
Sometimes.
It's like 80. It's like 80-20. If we're being honest.
70. I would say 70. 70-30. That was
80% yes, 20% no, right?
And I was going the other direction.
Oh come on now.
So the band was called Nightmare. The song was called Cave Digger. This is something that was brought to us by our special guest, John Michael. Tell us a little bit about him real quick, and then we'll get George's opinion.
Nightmare is actually, they're kind of scattered across the country. Some of the guys are here in Tampa. Simon Sludge on Instagram. And then John is a very, very dear friend of mine. I've actually been friends with him since back when I was doing moderator shit for Lamb of God's message board. And we met a long time ago and never lost contact, and he put out this album a couple of years ago. I think it was 2018. Such a fantastic band and an incredible bunch of dudes.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, so let's go around the table real quick, the virtual round table. Dave, what did you think?
I actually haven't really been able to hear it yet. My browser is being a bitch, and I heard like the first 30 seconds of the song. I liked what I heard, though.
Yeah, me too. I dug it a lot. Well, not to make a joke, because it's Cave Digger, but he wasn't trying to. Justin, what did you think?
Yeah, it's all right. It's not really my type of metal. Like, it's a little too monotonous and sludgy for me, but it's not bad.
All right, so the question of the night. George, what'd you think?
So the correct answer is, it's okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good for George.
Yeah.
See, he's come a long way.
That's right.
First 2 minutes of it is kind of monotonous, like Justin was saying.
Justin was Satan.
Who could it be? Could it be Satan? George is turning into the church lady.
The first 2 minutes were kind of like meh for me, but then like the drums kind of kicked into overgear, and that's when the song kind of getting really good to me.
I should say, I only listened to the first like 2.5 minutes also, so maybe that's my...
It was only 3.5 minutes, so...
Well, I missed the drums kicking in, that's what
apparently.
Yeah, well, when the drums kicked in, the song started taking off, and it sounded a lot more fun to listen to. I might check out more of their stuff, maybe.
Very awesome.
Cool. I'm glad. All right, so one of the things I want to talk about before we leave tonight... I've been trying to push and make the Metal Geek Society Facebook group a little bit bigger and better, and just to be more interactive and just get engagement going. So I put out today that we were recording this episode. If you want to be part of this as well, on Facebook, just look for Metal Geek Society and ask to be on there, and we'll let you in. It's a lot of fun. First of all,
I'm gonna be in it.
There you go. Yeah, so I think you already are.
Oh,
I forced you in there. Maybe. I don't know. First question was from Aaron Garcia. best metal shirt you've ever owned? Who wants to go first? We'll go around. We'll start with George first.
I mean, come on now.
I know you've had a metal shirt in your life. Come on.
I've had quite a few shirts. I think the most metal shirt, band shirt I've had is probably a Slayer shirt.
Okay. I'm glad you didn't say Metallica.
Well, I don't own a Metallica shirt. So there's that. Yeah, it was a Slayer shirt when I was a kid. I got it, I think, at the Tattoo the Earth show.
99 or 2000. Well, I can't remember which year that was.
I think it was 2001,
maybe. I remember that. That was in Pasadena, right?
Right. Yeah, I was at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, I remember that show.
Yeah, I saw a lot of them. A lot of the bands that I liked during that time.
I somehow got into a Hatebreed pit just by standing there watching them, and they started playing. All of a sudden, I was in the pit.
That's what happens.
I was like, "What the fuck?"
They just play "I Will Be Heard" over and over again because that's the only good song I ever had.
Right. What about you, John Michael?
Probably, man, I've had so many of them over the years. I'm going to go back to when I was 13. It's a jean jacket. I actually had a jean jacket with Metallica's Jump in the Fire back patch.
Nice.
And, in the town that I grew up in, it was very, very, unusual for somebody to have that. And I definitely stood out in my school and, It was awesome.
I remember when I was like around that time, I was with my cousin. My mom took us shopping for school clothes, and we were freaking out. There was like a Jump in the Fire Metallica shirt. It was like at a Mervyn's or something. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Justin, what about you?
I mean, I've got tons of metal shirts. I've worn them my whole life, but the one that I think I wore the absolute most was like my late middle school, early high school days. I had a Nine Inch Nails Downward Spiral shirt that I wore until it literally disintegrated. So that was probably my favorite shirt I ever owned.
Dave?
I'm trying to decide. I have so many metal shirts, and I've worn a bunch of them until they've just literally fallen off.
Mm-hmm.
I have a favorite metal shirt story, though.
Oh.
And so this will count for me.
Let's hear it.
There was, when I was living in Denton, there was the Hastings there, Rip Hastings.
I was about to say Rip Hastings. I love Hastings.
They had an Iced Earth shirt in the back of the store. They didn't have like a bunch of metal stuff really, but they had this one Iced Earth shirt. And I always thought it was really cool. And then one day I went in and saw they had it on sale. It had been there forever. And it was only like this one shirt. I don't know where it came from.
It was a return or something.
Like it wasn't like they had a run of them. It was like one. and it was there forever. And so when I went in, it was like on clearance for like $8 or something like that. I'm like, cool, I'm going to pick it up. So I take it up to the register. And when the cashier ran it through, it came up for a penny.
Wow.
Holy shit.
So I paid up a penny for this Iced Earth shirt.
Nice.
That's incredible.
That's awesome.
Nice.
For me, I have two, I think. One of them I still currently own. It's Devin Townsend on a tricycle. it's phenomenal. It's great. And back in when I was like probably 16, 17, 18, I had this remember that you had those full print shirts? It was Anthrax, Persistence of Time. The whole album cover was like the clock and stuff. It wasn't a t-shirt. It was like a full print all around the shirt. Of like the album cover. It was so cool.
That's rad.
I don't remember I don't know what happened to it. But yeah, I have a picture, unfortunately, with my ex in it. That's the only picture of that shirt I have. Miss that shirt. So yeah, very cool. Thank you for the question, Aaron. Let's see going on. Have we done anything on the history of battle jackets and how it moved from biker culture into metal culture?
I saw that question, and that's a great question. And it's actually the kind of thing that is in my wheelhouse, and I'm willing to do some research. And
I think this should be, that's a great topic.
I don't think it's been done.
It should be a definite topic on the show.
I think
it's a little hard to answer a short question.
They saw a motorcycle gang with some cool patches. And it was like, yo, we should do that for our band.
But there are steps along the way, though.
Yes.
There's It was, I know, in yeah, because they had the heavy metal thing, like they kind of stole it from the punks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And there, yeah, and so I would be curious. It's a great question, and I'm kind of wanting to look into it.
I bet you myself. Rob Halford had something to do with something.
Well, yeah.
Moving on from that.
There's some crossover with Rob Halford and
yes.
biker culture.
Oh, for
and
sure.
Leather
and spikes.
If Rob Halford can wear it, it's cool for us metalheads to wear it, too, and it's sort of like yeah. got, you know, yeah. Let's see, moving on, our, let's see, favorite album covers of all time from Mark Clausen.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Jesus. Don't pick anything easy to ask.
I know, yeah. right?
Yeah, I can't answer that.
We might have to come back to that one, dude. That's a loaded question.
Yeah. yeah.
The only one that I could really think of off the top of my head would be Mastodon Remission. That's mm-hmm. that's a really, really awesome cover with the horse on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to say
Fear Factory Obsolete is the only yeah. one that pops into my head.
I want to say anything done, a lot of stuff done by Travis Smith, who's one of my favorite cover guys.
What about, that's a really I'd awesome question, the, though.
The cover for Iron Maiden's Dance of Death. I mean, yeah. does it get any better?
You know what's crazy?
I don't know if you're being sarcastic or what.
No, I'm being very sarcastic.
There's
it's better,
so many
not as good as Virtual 11.
Artists. There's so many comic book artists that contribute to album sure. covers that people don't realize.
Greg Capullo.
I yeah.
have a lot of Iced Earth stuff.
I wrote papers in college because I went to art school. I wrote papers in college about some of the Greg Capullo stuff and like I did like an art history of how comic books and heavy metal album covers were related.
Nice. I want to read that.
And I'd write papers like that to piss my professors off.
I want
to
read that.
But then I'd write them really well.
And I know we've talked about this before on the show, but when Greg Capullo was at Comic Palooza, I was the only person who brought him an Iced Earth poster to sign. Mm-hmm. So, we talked for a little bit and he's like, so what do you do? So are you a metalhead? And we just start talking. He's like, yeah, I do a podcast. He's like, you do a metal podcast? He's like, do you want to interview me? I was like,
wait, I remember.
Yes.
I remember this is when you actually interviewed him for the Metal Geeks.
That's
back
right.
in the beginning.
Yeah. This is yeah. early yeah. days.
I remember that.
Yeah, he was super cool.
Yeah, we interviewed him too for Comical back when I was doing it. He was a good guy.
Yeah, he was really.
I was gonna say real quick, I'm changing my answer to Taylor Swift Folklore.
You know what? That would actually be a quite awesome. That's a really good metal cover, honestly.
It is. Did you see Eason's like post about it? He's like, I would have done that for free, or it's much cheaper.
It could be in a Goliath album cover.
That's right. All right. Most underrated comic book movie.
Underrated?
Underrated. Your most underrated comic book movie.
Oh man. That's another loaded
Can I say mine?
Question.
Mystery
yeah,
Men.
Go ahead.
Mystery Men.
Oh yeah, Mystery that's good. A great one.
Is that a comic book movie? I mean, that's, I guess it's a superhero.
Superhero,
movie,
yeah. Why not?
Oh, okay. I got you. Big Hero 6.
Okay. Not bad.
That's underrated. I mean, Jesus Christ, they have
underrated.
A fucking theme park
underrated in the
that
fact
shit.
That people don't read the comic book.
That's
over,
true. I think it's an underrated movie. It's not talked about in the breath of like, oh.
That's actually my favorite Disney movie.
No.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, I own that movie. It's a great movie.
What's your choice, George?
Oh, jeez. I'm not really sure. I don't have a great answer for an underrated one. Maybe Constantine? I don't think people really appreciated Constantine with Keanu Reeves when that movie came out. And it's a really good movie.
Yeah,
it's
I
a good
really
movie.
Enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, it is a good movie.
Can I say The Mask, just, too? The original Jim Carrey.
Well,
that was
sure,
on the other night I was watching it.
The only problem with Constantine is that it's not super close to the comics. It just adapts the emotions and the feeling of the comic book really well. It just doesn't adapt the stories from the comic book very well.
This whole thing was weird with the tattoos.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was cool. I thought
all
that
the
was
actors,
a cool little add-on thing.
All the actors in it are great, though. I mean, there's yeah, this talks about, this talks about bringing Keanu back to play the role again, so I would love for that
That'd
to happen.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. What about you, Justin and Dave?
I mean, it's hard to say underrated because, I mean, all the Marvel movies are great. All the DC movies are great. You know, what? Like the classic movies or whatever.
Did you say all the DC movies are great?
I actually enjoy most of them. I mean, Suicide Squad is kind of terrible, but the rest are passable. I like them a lot more than most people do.
Yeah.
I think my answer is going to be Spawn, though, just for the soundtrack.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Dude, I watched Spawn recently. It's a terrible movie.
Oh, no, the movie's terrible, but it's like one of the best soundtracks ever made.
What about you, Dave?
The Rocketeer.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, awesome. Man. I fucking love that movie.
Very good.
I love The Rocketeer.
Very good choice.
I even have a poster on my wall.
Yeah.
Matt Aspen asks, who is the most iconic metal duo in film or TV? Bill and Ted?
Tenacious D.
Okay. I agree on that.
Oh.
Bill and Ted?
There's choices. Thank you.
Yeah, there's choices. Bill and Ted or Beavis and Butthead?
Bill and Ted. Hands down.
Bill and Ted.
They go to hell and tell Satan to fuck off. So.
And they have a new movie coming out. So, but Beavis and Butthead are coming back, right?
I bought that same Death shirt that you got, George, from Mondo.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Matt Ryan wants to know, are there any songs you guys have that have become part of a ritual that you do?
A ritual that I do?
He says, for example, when I was a kid, before a football or baseball game, I had to play TNT by AC/DC to get him amped up. I don't know this answer.
I'll have stuff that will maybe serve that function for a short time. I think we lost John
we
Michael.
We did. We just lost somebody. He didn't like that question.
His iPad died.
Yeah, I think those things will happen maybe for a short time where it's like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to listen to a song. But I don't know. I don't really do that.
Yeah, me neither. I listen to music to get hype sometimes when I work out, but I don't listen to a specific song to get somewhere.
Yeah, I don't really do that either.
The last time I really like worked hard to get in shape, I listened to nothing but Amorphis.
That's a good one. Opus works too.
Nonstop.
Deliverance. I mean,
now I'm working out again and I'm trying to lose the weight again and I'm listening to like newer stuff, but I don't really have like a song that I set to any kind of ritual. I don't have anything.
So no, we do not do that. Sorry.
All right. Let's see. He asked another question. We had somebody on Instagram ask a question. This is very interesting. Who would you bring on as a guest, anyone dead or alive, and what question would you ask them?
God, I mean, this could go for the scope of this show.
Yep. There could be so anybody, dead or alive. At.
Why is it Walt Disney, and what would you ask him?
Shut up, Justin. God damn it.
No, it would be one of the Imagineers that have passed away, for sure.
Yeah.
Justin's right. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I can see that.
Sorry about that, guys.
Hey, he's back.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, I jumped on my cell phone, so.
Very cool. The question we just had was on Instagram from Gold F1FE. Who would you bring on as a guest on the show? Anyone dead or alive, and what question would you ask them? Did you have and Dave's answer was chosen by Justin. It was Walt Disney.
Oh, holy shit.
Justin chose for me, but he's not wrong.
He's not wrong, no.
Ooh, that's a tough one, man. I'd have to say Stan Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Justin? Can we steal your answer?
Yeah, you can try. Go ahead.
Dave, you got it?
Oh, shit, I don't know. I was not prepared for that.
I'd probably say Bob Kane, and I'd want to know like how he feels about the current versions of Batman versus the one he originally imagined.
Wait, you got to have him with Bill Finger.
Yeah, both. Both would be great. But if you only get one, I'd pick Bob Kane.
Very cool. What about you, George? Sorry for real quick. When John Michael comes back, he's come back and he's on a different platform. So the sound is different. There's a little bit background noise. We apologize, but we're all doing this virtually. And we're flying by the seat of our pants.
Yeah, so, sorry about that, guys. My iPad good. Died.
Oh, poor iPad. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I don't know who I would want to interview. So
it's Steven Spielberg, and what question would you ask him, George?
I mean, you're also not wrong, but I didn't want to go with the obvious person. I was trying to pick someone else. It would probably end up being like Harrison Ford, but I imagine that would be a very boring interview.
You'd ask him a question, he wouldn't be able to understand the answer.
Airplanes.
What about me? Can y'all guess who mine would be?
Somebody from the Monkees, I'm sure.
I would guess that, yeah.
Yeah.
But which one? Dead or alive?
Are you going to expect me to know who they are? I don't know who they are.
No.
The dead one, that's all I'm going to guess.
No, not Davey. It'd be Michael Nesmith, for sure. Who I've recently met.
The dead one?
He's not dead.
Oh, okay. You sure he's not the dead one?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. Okay. Are you sure?
I don't know.
Let me look on Twitter to see if we had any responses. No, we didn't.
No.
Thanks for all our fans on Twitter for asking questions. That was great.
Wow. It's a low blow there.
Sorry.
Twitter's a toilet anyways.
Jornell asked, your first interview for Metal Geeks and your last one, how do you feel it's different and better? And that's not really... For all of us.
This is our last one?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Man, we're really not going out on a high note here.
No, I have one more question. It's another question from Matt Ryan. So we're going to go off on a sort of high note. I guess Jornell, you guys all know Jornell. You've all met him.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, so going back to like my very first interview was like back in the late 90s, you know? When I was doing stuff for MSRcast, I was so nervous doing that shit. Now, I try to look at people. They're just people, you know? They have the same likes and dislikes as everybody else. They're just normal people who might just, you know, be in your favorite band or whatever. Or your favorite
artist
or whatever.
Unless you talk to a super famous person, and then they're not normal people. They're
still
famous.
They're still like us, though. But
are they?
They should be.
I agree with you, Carrie. I agree with you. That's the one thing I definitely learned over all the years that I was podcasting and meeting all the people that I have met and interviewing them all. And they're just normal people that happen to have an awesome gig.
I did have one moment. I've had one moment in my career when I was interviewing Mike Mignola, and I had the fanboy question, and I was like, I seriously asked him. It was a Comic Palooza. Who else at the show, or something like, are you, who else at the show are you excited to see besides yourself? And he was like, well, I see myself every day. I was like, oh, fuck, did I just really say that? And I was like, I'm sorry, I bow to you, I love you.
I don't remember what I said to him, but I said something that offended him because he was like, I don't want to talk anymore.
Are you serious?
Oh, wow. You pissed him off,
dude. I asked him, I mean, he was joking, but like, I asked him something about his books and I got some facts wrong. And he was like, I can't believe you got that wrong.
Wow.
He was really unhappy with me.
Wow. All right. So we both had bad experiences with interviewing Mike Mignola.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked to Mike Mignola when he came to Comic Palooza a while back, and it was a pretty awesome conversation.
Yeah. You didn't piss him off, apparently.
He was a really nice guy.
I don't know. I've done a lot of interviews. Most of them, I didn't really have any nerves for at all. Like, most people are pretty easy to sit down and talk with. I mean, even, like, I'm a huge fan of Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes. Like, we interviewed Jason Mewes in his hotel.
Yeah.
You know, we sat there and had, like, a 20-minute conversation with him, and he's just such a laid-back, cool guy. It was, like, nothing.
I remember, I interviewed him that same day. I think you actually helped me get that set up. You're like, hey, I have another guy who wants to interview. And I remember it was like me and Kim sitting there. I was on that porch, which is no longer the smoking section there. And like he got up. He's like, after the interview, he's like, was my fly open the whole time? He was like, fuck.
I don't know. Probably the only one that I ever was really super nervous with was Lou Ferrigno because he was just such a presence. You know, he's so, like, and it was one of our first ones too.
Yeah.
And he broke my microphone. That's the story I always tell. He sat down, he's like, how does this work? And he broke my microphone in half.
Wow.
And I was like, I was like, oh, well, I got a story. The Hulk broke my microphone. Right? So I guess it was.
He got Hulk raged. Yeah.
I should have at least paid you for it. That would have been better.
Yeah.
And it's always cool going back to like people that you interview, you sort of become there's been a few people in my life that I sort of become friendly with, friends, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
James Rivera from Hellstars, I consider him a friend, and Larry Roberts from No Member's Doom, and Matt Harvey, and just it's weird. Ming. What's up?
Ming.
I was about to say Ming Chan. It's so interesting that you know, it really does bring people down to the same level as you at that point when you become friends with people that you've grown up listening to or you're fans of, you know what I mean? I know you're friends with a lot of comic book people, you know, Justin. Yeah. It's a cool feeling.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, you try to support their work, you get to know them a little bit.
Yeah. And,
you know, then next thing you know, you're having conversations with them in Instant Messenger. It's like,
yeah, exactly right.
Surreal, but it happens.
All right. So going out, hopefully on a bang, Matt Ryan again asked, any metal albums that hit you on a spiritual level or listening to them is meditative when it wouldn't be to most others? And if so, are any of them extreme albums and yet still entirely comforting?
Yes.
I got three off the top of my head. All right,
let's hear them. Let's start. Go ahead.
I mean, number one, Behemoth the Satanist. That album, yes. No matter what I'm doing, it's completely meditative for me. Number two, Rivers of Nile, Where the Owls Know My Name. I'm pretty fucking stoked that I finally got a record. I've been looking for an LP for like a year, and they finally put their last 100 up on their website, and I was able to snag one.
Nice.
They were going for outrageous eBay prices. But, man, I love that album. I can listen to it day or night, anytime, whether I'm trying to sleep or work out or whatever. It is the most soothing album I've ever heard. And then I feel the same way about Isan's Arctis. I can listen to that just about any time.
What about you, JM?
I don't have any particular albums off the top of my head because it's all like situational for me.
Yeah.
Like I have to be in the moment and the, you know, whatever's going on in my life. But there are some albums that I revisit often, but I honestly can't think of anything off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
George, you have anything?
No, not really. I mostly listen to, movie scores more than anything for that kind of stuff.
That could work though. I mean, that's, you know, it can hit you on a spiritual level. It can influence your creativity, you know?
Yeah, totally. I always listen to the Interstellar soundtrack. I think that's just probably one of the best scores I've heard in a long time. And Thin Red Line is a really great soundtrack. And what else do I really listen to when I just need to think? The Last of the Mohican soundtrack is really good, too.
Interesting. Dave, do you have anything?
I mean, I do. I do this with a lot of stuff, and like JM was saying, it's often situational, and it's just kind of like this is the right thing right now.
Yeah.
But it more specific to his question about something that's like crazy that is still somehow like totally chill and meditative for me. An example of that, and there's other ones, but a good example of that for me is the band Aklis. Album is The Dreaming Eye. It's this wild atmospheric black metal stuff.
I can see that.
And that's great. Another one that's a little bit more, it's not as crazy, but it's definitely very meditative for me, is the first couple of albums from the band Winds. Did you ever?
Yes, for sure.
I've listened to them in years, man.
I hadn't either. I did about 2 weeks ago. I went, oh shit, I haven't listened to Winds in like 10 years. And I went,
Did
he?
I think he did.
They put out another, like a third album that I didn't know about.
I think I have that.
But that's just some totally chill, listenable. Like
we can hear everybody googling it right now. I was like, what?
Yeah.
they're a Norwegian band. Yeah. It said there was something in 2017. It said TBA, but the last album was 2007. So they had four albums. Yeah. Going to that question, for me, it's not – I don't know fully albums because for me, it's more bands that if I'm in a bad mood or if I need to like sort of relax, there's certain bands that help me do that. One of them, of course, is Anathema. I'll listen to like the We're Here, you know, that We're Here album. But of course, the Monkees, I will put that on if I just need to. If I'm in a bad mood or like stressed or anything, I'll put that on. Just stuff that I'm, you know, familiar with so much, like the Devin Townsend Project, some of those songs, just stuff that's, it's just comforting to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Actually, looking at it like a comforting thing, I can think of one more that really fits in there for me, and that's Harakiri for the Sky.
Mm.
Any album from their discography, I can put it on play no matter what I'm doing, and it calms me down.
Yeah, I can see that. Amorphis is the same way for me.
So, like all this stuff you guys are talking about, like they can all serve this function. Yes. For me.
Insomnium, absolutely. For sure. For me, that sort of
Insomnium. Like I can Draconian.
Yeah.
Like just about anything from them.
Paradise Lost for
Sewing.
Me.
It's Sewing, so funny because like, you know, this could be a whole different discussion, but I think people on the outside, out of the metal community that hear this kind of music, they're like, they think it's so wild and crazy and extreme. They're like, this is the kind of music you rage to when you're driving in your car, and that's all it's for. You know, it's only when you're angry. It, like, feeds into your anger. But honestly, like, a lot of this stuff for us, it's relaxing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so something else that George has created.
This is a good discussion. I think we should come back to this topic.
We should
sometime.
Definitely table and think about it a little bit more.
Yeah.
So something George has brought to the show is What's Tickling Our Geek. I know this is a surprise one, but let's get into what's tickling our geek right now. I have mine.
Oh, wow.
Mine is Bill and Ted Face the Music is coming out September 1st, and it's going to be available on VOD, so I don't have to go get sick in a movie theater.
Yeah, I think we're all excited about that.
Yeah. I'm about to say, like, well, you stole mine, so.
I know. That's why I said it first.
Anyone else wants to go while I think about what the fuck's happening in the world?
I've got two, I guess. Right. So I've told you guys about this album from a band called Garia.
Mm-hmm.
It's G-A-E-R-E-A. I've listened to like 400 albums already this year. I found a lot of stuff I liked, but nothing I truly loved until I heard this album. This is like the album that I love this year. So definitely check it out. It's called Limbo is the name of the album. It's fantastic.
Wide variety of influences on there, too.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And then I'm also really excited because the Master of the Universe Origins toy line is coming out August 1st, and it'll be available at Walmarts everywhere and then eventually at other places.
What is it exactly? Is it like
it's the action figures that are in the same style of the Funimation toys that we used to have when we were kids growing up.
Oh, really?
You know, the first releases are like He-Man, Skeletor, Beastman, Teela, Evil-Len, and one more I can't remember. And then there's like Battle Cat and the Sky Sled.
Let me know when Trapjaw comes out.
Yeah, Trapjaw might be one of the other ones.
I definitely want one of those.
But they're designed like the Funimation toys were. They're the same size. They're just more articulate. Like the arms bend, the knees bend. And they even come in like the same sort of packaging that the original toys came in. And you just go into Walmart and pick it up off the shelf, which is cool. Like
if you
the
can fact find them.
Go, well, they're going to be wide release. They're not exclusives or anything.
Oh, really?
Okay. So you'll be able to see, like, they're just now starting to come out. But, like, within a month or so, you'll probably be able to see them at any Walmart you go to.
Okay.
And then there'll be, like, other stores, too, later on. And they're going to continue building on the line. And then it'll be just like the original toy line was where there's, you know, hundreds of different
figures. So it's sort of like that Marvel Legends type of stuff?
Yeah, but not quite as
gotcha.
Pricey. I think it's like $15 a figure.
Okay.
And like 25 to 30 for the vehicles. So
I still want the He-Man on Battle Cat Funko Pop, which is awesome.
Yeah, I picked one of those up.
Did you?
Yeah. GameStop had them on sale for $25 a few days ago, so I grabbed one.
Nice.
Yeah.
What about you, Dave?
Clayman 2020.
Shut up.
I'm just kidding. No one's
His sarcasm is on point tonight.
I didn't listen to it until like 2 days ago.
Oh, I did.
I knew it was going to be terrible, but I was not prepared for how bad it was.
So we were driving Sunday to go bring my cousin who graduated from high school a present. So I always listen to the release radar. So when Pinball Map, the redone version of Pinball Map came on, we were both like, what is going on? It's lost every kind of luster it ever had.
And that's the best song on the re-release. Like,
oh, God.
All the other ones are even worse than that. It's fucking awful.
Jesus. All right, never mind then. Well, I wasn't going to buy it anyways. But
I didn't even try to listen to that thing.
Wow. Did you come up with something, George? Do you have something, JM?
I do.
Right. Don't steal now, George's.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm joking.
No, well,
actually, does Dave have a real one? Because he just said Clayman.
No, that's right.
I don't have a real one. That's why I said that.
That is his real one. That's the joke.
For me, like I was saying in the beginning, I read comic books like crazy. And I have been recently into the Power Rangers, Rangers Flayer. If you don't know anything about this, if you don't follow the Power Rangers, that's okay. All you need to know is that there's a character, his name is Lord Drakkon, and he's essentially like Thanos, but it's actually Tommy from a dark universe. And he...
Tommy, who's Tommy? Is it the Green Ranger?
Green Ranger. That's right.
That dude.
Yep. And he actually harnesses the power of Rita. And he
I have a story about that guy.
I'm not the biggest fan of that guy.
That's okay. He's not a part of this. His comic book characters are not related.
Okay.
But he's Tommy in that world. He's a Thanos type character. That's literally he put a spell on the Ranger Slayer, who was Kimberly. She's the Pink Ranger, and she goes around hunting. That. Yeah, they hunt all the other Power Rangers and steal their coins and make them the coinless. And it's a fantastic story arc. If you're interested in it, start with Shattered Grid, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And secondly, my other tickling my geek thing is Mythic Legions. If you aren't familiar with Mythic Legion action figures, holy shit. If you like D&D, if you like Masters of the Universe, you need to check out these figures. It all started with a Kickstarter a couple of waves ago, but now they have a brand new wave coming out. I think it's at the end of this month, the beginning of next month. These figures are incredible. You can get them by Four Horsemen Studios. You can get them from Big Bad Toy Store, which is where I get most of my pre-orders from. But yeah, go check them out. They're cool. Mythic Legions, and I honestly can't pronounce the names because they are ridiculously mythical. but the sculpt is incredible. These guys started making action figures of Master of the Universe characters that they wanted to get, but they weren't getting from other manufacturers, and they just knocked it out of the park.
Mm. Very cool. Yeah, all right, George, cool. Back to you. Your time in the spotlight.
I really don't have anything like that. I'm like, right, oh my God, I'm super excited for. But I did come across the show I've been meaning to watch for the longest time on Netflix, and I've just been putting it off And then finally I decided, like, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot, and I'm watching Dark on Netflix.
Somebody recommended that to me this week.
Has anyone else seen it on this show?
I watched
season one. My wife started watching it and said it was pretty good.
I watched season one.
It is fucking awesome, and I didn't expect it to be that good. It gets really convoluted really quick, so if you're not paying attention, you will, like, lose your place in the show and not know what's going on. And also, it's in German, so you have to either watch it dubbed or watch it in German language.
Oh, really?
I don't want to say too much in case anybody wants to watch it, but I will say that it is very awesome. It does kind of feel like Stranger Things when it starts out, but it quickly becomes its own thing after the first episode or two.
Okay.
I would say it's probably better than Stranger Things, in my opinion.
Very cool. Well,
very cool.
Thank you. Everybody's geek has been sufficiently tickled. I'm happy. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you guys for hanging out with me tonight on our 8th anniversary of the Metal Geeks. We'll have to bring everybody back in 8 more years.
Amazing. Jesus, think about how old we're going to be, man.
Hopefully the pandemic's over by then.
Hopefully. That's right. What do you mean, how old we're going to be? I'm the oldest motherfucker here, so.
Yeah. How old are you now?
I'll be 46.
Too old. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I'll be in my 50s still doing podcasting. It's going to be, yeah.
I'll be 40.
Dedicated you are, sir.
That's right.
I'll be 49.
Yep.
In 8 years. Yeah.
Y'all youngins. I just did an episode of MSR Cast with Sean the Metal Pigeon yesterday, and Mark Clausen, who was one of my original editors on MSR. So we're like, let's do a specialty episode. So we picked a year. We picked 1995. So this episode should be out by now. And Sean was like, I didn't listen to a lot of metal that year. I'm like, well, why not? I was like 9 years old. I'm like, what? I didn't realize how young he was. I'm like, oh man, I feel old now. I was already out of high school for a couple of years by that time, you know?
It was
interesting. All right. It was fun. Thanks again, guys. First of all, please check out the Metal Geek Society on our Facebook, on Facebook groups. It's been a lot of fun. We're having a lot of cool interactive, discussions and topics and stuff like that. And it's a good, cool place to hang out. Of course, you can find us all over the interwebs on all the social medias, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, all at Metal Geeks. Our website, metalgeekspodcast.com, where you can keep up with all the new episodes. You can subscribe to us on all your podcatching devices and apps and all that, including Spotify and Stitcher and Apple Podcast. Go to esopodcast.com. Check out all the cool shows that make up the ESO Network. I'm sorry, ESONetwork.com to check out all the cool shows that make up the network. And you can subscribe to the feed there and get all the geeky shows together in one place. Well, I think that's it for that. Moving on.
Yeah. Remind them to check out our playlist, too.
Oh, yeah. Check out the playlist. We have two different playlists on Spotify, so follow us there. I think you can – we've got to figure out – there's a link on – our Facebook group, we can actually pin that to the top, and we got to figure out a way to easily share it, because Spotify gives you like a huge long link. I'll just do like a bit.ly link or something like that. I think that'd be the easiest way to share it. We'll start working on that more, but Justin and I have been cultivating these and adding songs from 2020 releases that we think are cool and people should be listening to. And we also have a classic playlist featuring all kinds of bands and genres and stuff like that. So it's been a lot of fun to work on that.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll add this Cave Digger song to one of our lists, to our classic list. Yeah, for sure.
The classic list.
Yeah. So let's move on to our guest first. Where can people find out more information about you, John Michael? What are you doing now?
Well, I basically use Instagram for most of my stuff. That's where I like kind of like corral people. I don't like to have them on my personal stuff, but you can reach me at Darth Nerf Herder on Instagram. Just basically, if you want to follow any of the stuff I post, I post a lot about comic books and action figures, and I do go to Disney when it's open. I have reservations on November.
Yeah, we'll talk.
My adventure then.
We should bring you back so after your November trip, we can actually talk about it. I've been watching a lot of vloggers and stuff like that, and I'm interested. We moved our May trip to September, and then we moved our September trip to next May just to be on the safe side.
Yeah,
because we're having to travel there. It's a different experience. You know what I mean? We want to be safe.
Yeah, I mean, my wife and I have been contemplating on trying to do a day there in a couple of weeks, because I don't know if you guys follow vloggers or whatnot, but
it's empty.
Frequent the parts.
There's nobody there.
Yes.
Because they're doing that on purpose. They're keeping it low.
Yeah. That makes me feel a little bit more okay with doing it. And my wife is convinced that it's safe. So if she thinks it's safe, then it's good.
They've taken a lot of precautions from what I've seen to really – I would probably feel safer there than going into a Walmart right now.
Yeah. I actually have not been to a Walmart since March. Mm. So but anyways, if you want to follow in any of that stuff, I post a lot of really stupid memes. So,
Cool.
Darth Nerf Herder.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. All right. And Justin, what are you pimping out?
Well, you can check out our podcast, the Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast, that I do with George and our friend Andy. We haven't put out an episode since before the pandemic began, but whenever we're able to meet up and record, we'll get back to it.
They've been affected by Corona.
We've been affected, yeah. Well, it's just because Andy doesn't know how to work a computer because I don't know.
Because he's Andy.
Because he's Andy. But if you want to listen to back episodes, we've got a good catalog of a lot of funny stuff. It's available at mindfudgecomedy.com or on any of the podcatchers. George and I need to get back to work on Speak No Evil pretty soon, so keep an eye out for some updates on that whenever that happens. And if you want to follow me on social media, I'm at ComicalJC pretty much everywhere.
All right. Dave, what about you?
Look for at Red Viking Dave on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And mostly is going to be art updates for me, but also like what I'm listening to sometimes and other bullshit.
Incredible art, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm loving the new post on there, man. The pictures of you doing the art is pretty great, too. Who's taking those pictures for you?
I am.
Nice, dude. Yeah, they're really good.
He has three arms.
I knew it. I knew he was hiding something all those times in the house.
Yeah, if you have not checked out Dave's artwork, he is a phenomenal artist, and I'm insanely jealous of his talent because all I can do is draw a stick figure.
I can't even.
Yeah. All right, George. What about you, Georgie?
You can find me on all the social medias at George Tripsis. If you want to see me rant and rave about the newest bullshit that I hate or like.
I like
it's 80-20.
I love how he went with hate
most
first.
Of the stuff, but I'm usually more gentle than I am on the podcast. But you know,
that's true.
I have to make a stand. God damn it! I have to make a stand. Otherwise, you guys are just gonna love everything. I'm mostly on Twitter. So if you want to like have conversations with me, that's where you'll find me.
Cool. Well, thanks again, guys. Happy 8th anniversary to everybody here. It's been a pleasure. Yay! Everybody do the Kermit yay.
Yeah,
And now let's have a show, okay?
Speaking of the new Muppet series, doesn't it start this week as we're recording?
Is it this week or
I believe
next
so.
Month?
I think it's soon, dude. I think it's this weekend. The Muppets right. Something Tonight. I don't remember what it's called. It's on Disney Plus. That's all I know.
Yep. Muppets Now, I think that's what it's called.
I think that's – you're it. That's it. All right. Yeah. One last thing I have to say before I go, and that is
– keep it metal.
And?
And keep it geeky.
That's right. All right. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net.
What will you do when your child asks?
What were Saturday morning cartoons?
What were Saturday morning cartoons? What's wrong with you?
Or will you handle it the right way?
Sit down, baby girl. Let me introduce you to my friend Mark McCray.
Join Dan Klink and I on the Best Saturdays of Our Lives podcast as we take a unique behind-the-scenes look at the history and dynamics of animation with plenty of laughs along the way.
The Best Saturdays of Our Lives podcast is a proud member of the ESO Network.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.